Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Support Brian the Hammer Jackson, and so should you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. We are worldwide. It's 8.03 a.m. California time. March 29, 2021. We are global, like I said. If you like to come in the studio. And I don't expect a lot of people in the studio today because of the trial. And I even delayed the show because of the trial. But if you'd like to come in the studio, it's 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. I still have to do broadcasting. Well, boy. You know, I delayed the show today. And I just wanted to see what's going to happen with the opening trial of George Floyd, or George Floyd's not a trial, but the cop who killed, and I say killed, George Floyd, murderer, that guy. Derek Chauvin, the murderer. So I was going to delay the show so I could see a little bit of it. And as the prosecutor was talking, he was talking about he's going to show tapes about Floyd begging for his life, words he was saying, things like this. And I realized I could not watch it. I turned it off. And the reason I couldn't watch it is because whatever the verdict is, that man suffered. And I just could not be part of it. I could not be part of the politics, the agenda, of what's going on. And I cannot go through the suffering of seeing this guy suffer again. I could not do it. I know what my eyes saw, and that man's a murderer, the cop. Is a murderer. But we're going to get a hard lesson. I'm afraid we're going to get a hard civic lesson about sometimes when something ain't right doesn't mean it's not law. And what I mean by that is a lot of us are not educated regarding law. We see some things. We know it's not right. It should be against the law, but I would be more interested in the defense explanation of why it's not murder, because that's where the civic lesson comes in. That's where we don't know enough about how policemen are being shielded. But again, I don't think I could bring myself to seeing that, because at the end, the man suffered, and I just can't watch it. I just can't watch it. And for the first time in I don't know how many years, I just turned off the TV, because I usually have it on all the time. So if you're not listening to the show, a lot of my podcasts or a lot of people listen to the show afterwards anyway. I can understand this studio is going to be sparse because people are going to be watching the trial. As far as I'm concerned, I already saw it. As far as I'm concerned, that man was on his neck for 9 minutes, and that man was suffering, and he's dead. Done. I don't want to hear the drugs in his systems. I don't want to hear that he had a police record. I don't want to hear that he wasn't a model citizen. I don't want to hear anything. I saw an execution before my eyes and a man suffering. And I'm not about to live that again. I said this, there's been a lot of blog talk shows, and there's been the talking points and blah, 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 about what's not right, and he should go, it's not going to be cut and dry, you guys. And if you don't know what the law is, I got a feeling you're going to be really disappointed. I really do. And that brings up, I've been saying this for years, for 3 or 4 years, nobody listened to me. The only way that that's going to change is to hold police officers, courts, mostly police officers, accountable. We had a police officer come in the studio 2 months ago talking on the same point. His argument is, he doesn't think it's a good idea to hold police officers accountable. Meaning, accountable meaning they could be sued, they could be arrested, and they could be put in jail, held accountable for their actions. The police officers are shielded from that. They're, at least in California, most of the United States, they're shielded. They have a blue shield, if you want to call it that. They cannot be sued. You can sue the city, you can sue this, but you cannot sue the individual. And very rarely any cop goes to jail. The only exception was that one black cop who went to jail. And that's why they rarely get off, because of the law. And you're about to hear it when the defense attorney comes up. It'll give you a good education regarding the law. Case in point, like I said, for years I've been saying that you got to pass a law that will hold police accountable. And the argument with the cop who came in the studio, and he's a friend of the show, he says that would be the worst thing ever because cops wouldn't do their job. That's his argument. Because they would be careful not to get sued. That's his argument. We didn't go any further with that. But as of updated Thursday at 10:40 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, This was March 3rd. The House, your lawmakers, on Wednesday, on March 3rd, and I don't think a lot of you know this, they passed the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. It's a reform bill that would be, they would ban the chokeholds. And it would alter the so-called qualified immunity for law enforcement. That's what we're talking about. That's why these cops don't really go to jail. That's why they don't get sued. That's why they're protected. Well, this law takes that apart and holds them accountable. So they just passed that law March 3rd. A little further. And you would think, and here's what I'm trying to say. You would think this would be a human rights kind of thing. People will go for it, and I understand there's misjustice and people who rogue cops and blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't that easy. Because these are the kind of people that you elected in Congress. It was a 220 to 212 vote. Mostly along party lines. This came in 9 months after Floyd was killed by a Minneapolis police officer. So who do you think, what party you think did not vote for the quality immunity law? Of course, it was the Republicans. They said, no, everything's fine the way it is. Don't touch anything. And we're going to our main story. And sometimes black people shoot themselves in the foot because everything was going our way until some dumb fuck decides to put a title on it. Without thinking, they put a title called Defund the Police. Out of all the titles in the world, you have to label it Defund the Police. You gave them a reason. You shot yourself in the foot again. That brought up a lot of things for Republicans, including Biden saying, no, we're not going to defund the police, and it always has to be explained. And then the other side said something stupid, saying, well, there's a lot of retarded people or handicapped people, whatever, mentally ill people, and police should not come to it, or domestic violence situation, and we should not have the police there. We should have a counselor, really. Really. So we have counselors on 24 hours a day, and when every time there's a domestic dispute or there's a person who's mentally ill and we don't know they're mentally ill or bipolar, we're not going to send the cops. We're going to send a counselor. The word defunding the police, a lot of people took it like money's getting away from the police. They're not able to do their job. Again, wrong title, stupid title. You gave them a reason. And that's what our story is today. But again, it is called qualified immunity. That's what the police have, and they're trying to get rid of that. And Congress just passed that bill to kill that. The wide-ranging legislation, which also bans a no-knock warrant in certain cases, mandate data collection on police encounters, prohibits racial and religious profiling, and redirect funding to community-based policing programs. Republicans are up in arms on that. The bill also says, never again should an unarmed individual be murdered or brutalized by someone who is supposed to serve and protect them. Republicans don't like that. They said bullshit. In a statement, never again should the world be subject to witnessing what we saw that happened to George Floyd in the streets of Minnesota. Sounds cool. I mean, any human person will say you're right. But, of course, it was in a debate on the House floor for a while. It goes time and time again, we have witnessed the people who are sworn to protect our communities abuse their power. That's what Representative Omar said. You know Omar. I like her. Trump labeled her as a terrorist. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole. But last year, the House passed a similar version of the bill, but it failed. It failed in the Republican Senate. This time around, Senate Democrats would have to sway at least 10 Republican members to pass the bill. I'm not going to get into the filibuster. We don't have enough time today. But Biden's a pussy. And I'm a Democrat. Biden has the power to get rid of that filibuster. He does. And if he gets rid of the filibuster, what it means is that the majority of the House is Democrats, the majority of the Senate is Democratic. But they're on a 50-50 line split, which is the vote for the vice president will bring him over. Biden has the power to do it. He can get rid of this we need 10 Republicans for the bill to pass. He could get rid of it. But Moscow Mitch McConnell says if you get rid of this bill and you vote on this bill, you will have hell to pay. And Biden blinked. What Biden doesn't know, usually traditionally, that every 2 years when we have a midterm election, automatically the House changes. Meaning, if you have a majority of Democrats, you got a Democrat president, it usually in 2 years it'll change back to a Republican House because people like to see it evenly. So he has 2 years to do what he needs to do, and he doesn't have the balls to do it. And if he keeps waiting like this, nothing's going to get done. Even on case in point, when you got your rescue checks or whatever you want to call it, the Republicans did not want you to have it. Zero Republicans voted for you guys to have that check or the money for the schools or the money for health care or the money for this. None of the Republicans voted for that. But Biden had the balls and the power, and even the Republican voters supported it. But Biden had the balls to go through it without using the Republicans. But he doesn't have the balls to take out the filibuster. He just doesn't have it. So this is the bill. And if Biden had the balls to say, I'm taking out the filibuster and let's vote on this bill, it may become law, but it's still, the House passed it, the Congress passed it, but the Senate didn't. Because here's what the Republicans say. The Republicans say that legislation goes too far and would prevent police from doing their jobs. Remember when I said black people shoot themselves in the foot? We tend to eat our young. When I was a kid, my father said, don't give them a reason. That's all he had to say. Don't give them a reason. And you can take that in any situation, when you get into trouble or whatever. But don't give people a reason. Black people gave the Republicans a reason and a talking point to not pass this because they were stupid enough to use the title Defund the Police. That's what the Republicans are holding on to. That's what they're holding on to. Did white people do that? No. Black people did that. We shot ourselves in the foot again. The Republicans said, this goes too far, and it would prevent police from doing their jobs effectively. What they're talking about is the defunding of the police. Well, you're taking the funds away from the police, which is not accurate. Defunding the police was not meant to take money from the police department or take their monies away. What it meant to say was that we're going to spread the money around a little bit so other social avenues can help with law enforcement. But the title itself was a reason for the Republicans to say, it takes money away, and they know damn well it's not about that. They knew it, but you gave them the reason. They said, it goes too far. Earlier this week, the Biden administration released a statement urging the House to vote for the favor of the proposal. To make our community safe, we must begin by rebuilding trust between law enforcement and the people they are entrusted to serve and protect. The statement said we cannot rebuild that trust if we do not hold police officers accountable. I was the one who said that 3 years ago. And even when I said it was lost, because people were going, they're turning it. I go, no, you don't understand. It's nothing going to change. Because you were not listening, and you were not thinking. Because the way that the police can act right now and how they can do that, have a man can knee to put a knee on a man's neck and execute him in the street and just sit up and smile at the crowd because he knew that he was protected. He knew that. You guys saw this execution, which I did, but my question was, how can this man just sit there in 9 minutes, put his knee with all his weight on this man's neck while the man is suffering and just smile at the crowd, not even hiding his shit, just smiling because he knew he was protected. See, I keyed on that. That's like a rapist raping somebody in the middle of the street and not worrying that anybody's going to harm him, pull him off, or he's going to be caught by the cops. Like, it's no big deal because the rapist is protected. And he may be because you think about it. Is she going to, women are going to go to court and say, this is the rapist? And a lot of women say, I don't want to relive my rape, so I'm therefore not going to testify. Why is it so hard for a woman to testify if she was raped? And that's what I'm trying to say. So you may look at this trial, and you may hear the gruesome things, right. And the prosecution is going to say everything that's going to trigger you, right. But when that defense comes up, and they start talking about this, give you a civic lessons about the law and not about emotions or what you like or if you think it's immoral, but the law itself, you're going to be shocked. And you're going to be pissed because that's how the system works. On Monday, President Biden also pushed for its passage on Twitter. So Biden went to Twitter. I am pleased that the House will vote next week. Again, this is March 3rd. They already passed the bill. On the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. I encourage the House to pass it. Following Senate consideration, I hope to be able to sign it into law as a police reform bill. And the reason he can't is because he's a pussy. He has no balls. Because Biden knows that he can get rid of the filibuster and go with the 50-50 split, and chances are it would have already passed. But Biden doesn't want to go there. He has that in his head, that kumbaya time. I'm trying to reach across party line. I'm trying to be popular. So it's bullshit. That's the fact, Jack. The trial of Derek Chauvin, the former police officer charged with killing Floyd, is scheduled to begin in Minneapolis on March 8th. Well, it's beginning now. Who was filmed kneeling on Floyd's neck for several minutes, faces second-degree murder and manslaughter charges. Heavy security measures, including barricades and fences around the courthouse, has been put in place of the trial. The other officers involved in Floyd's killing will be tried at a separate hearing in August. That's the latest. And I just wanted to tell you, that's the latest. Here he is, our main story. The image of black people. Who is to blame? Now, I know a lot of you are not going to understand the title, The Image of Black People. Dating a white girl, sometimes I see, she lets me see what she sees. We could be looking at the same thing. And being with, and dating certain people of races, and in certain countries, I get to see what they see. And a lot of them do not see what I see. They do not. So the image of black people that they see all the time, if you look on TV, is bad images. Crooks, thugs, thieves. And we made it cool, right? We made it cool to be a gangster. When we were kids, we started idolizing the pimps, and they made it cool. They put it on TV. That was cool. Being a pimp, Huggy Bear, the car, all this shit, all the thugging was cool. The clothes were cool. I don't know the history. I never been to jail. I know that's weird, right? I'm a black man, and I've never been to jail. I know some of y'all are shocked. What? It's true. Not all of us serve time in jail. But I don't know the history that I heard, and I don't know if it's true, that some black men who are putting down their pants, you see the guys with their pants, and you tell them to put their pants up? Well, what I heard how that happened was these are black men in prison, and they're bitches and punks, that they pull down their pants and there's some kind of signal that they want to get fucked up the ass or sold like a slave. That's what I heard. I've never been to prison, but that's what I heard. That was their signal. So they were pulled down their pants like you would see and walking around. So that tells me that they're somebody's bitch or they're going to be sold or they're looking to get fucked up the ass. It's a prison thing. Not a belt thing or a fashion thing. But then what happened? Somebody made it cool. Again, it's a prison thing. Now, this is what I heard, unless somebody wants to come in the studio and prove me different. So if I'm correct, so this is a prison thing that black men will pull down their pants and walk around with their underwear showing and everything. And that was a symbol of, I'm a bitch, I'm a punk, come fuck me up the ass. Unless somebody wants to prove me wrong. And if I'm right, all of a sudden, we got black men walking around the street and everything, even white dudes are pulling down their pants, and you're saying, pull your pants up, and it came from a prison thing. It came from a prison thing. Where did black people go? They made it cool. They made it cool. Whitey didn't do it. White people did not do that. We took that negative. Black people, and we made this shit cool. Negative acceptance. Here's my marquee. The image of black people who, and I asked them, who is to blame? We as black people are. We do it to ourselves. We do this shit to ourselves. Because you know why we do this shit to ourselves? Because we don't think. We accept it. We accept it. And then we put it into our own false black history that says who we are, and then we try to make a positive of it. That's cool. I forgot the designer who made those clothes cool. Hilfiger, I think it was Tommy Hilfiger. He adopted the black prison dress and everything, and he made a fashion line, and black people flocked to it, and it was prison wear. He became rich on it. Who bought the shit? Black people bought the shit. Here's the marquee. Black people are trained and brainwashed to be a victim. I wrote that. It is true. Black people are trained to be a burden on society. We are. True. We're always asking for help, and we're always accepting handouts, and we're grateful for it. Case in point. And I said it here, but there's another case in point. When they divided this law about welfare and everything, and you had to leave the house for your family to get it, and we accepted that shit. We accepted leaving our families. We accepted that no responsibility. We even coined a phrase that white people didn't coin, baby's mama. And you were proud to say baby's mama. Baby's mama was not a good thing. That's you knocking up some bitch, not taking responsibility, and it became our language. Oh, is that the baby's mama? And while knowing that that was an insult and a disrespect to her and you. But again, you're not thinking because you're trained to be ignorant. You're trained, you're brainwashed to be a victim. You are brainwashed to be oppressed. Don't worry, Whitey will help you out because then you're okay. Because you accept the handouts. Because you're trained to accept the handout. We are trained to be a burden on society, always asking for help, accepting handouts, and grateful for it. We have a built-in race. We are built-in. Our race is built-in for being a consumer, never a business owner or an investor. We are made to be consumers. As soon as we're born, we are consumers. We are trained to be a consumer. We are consumers. We're not trained to be businessmen. We're not trained to be investors. We're not trained to be business owners. Imagine having a built-in race that is full of consumers. That's all you do. Buy, 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 buy. You're not investing in anything. We are trained and conditioned to be consumers and nothing else. Case in point, what's happening right now? You got this black bitch But black vote matters, and if you fall for that bullshit, you're just as stupid as she is. Reaching out to Delta Air, reaching out to Amazon, and reaching out to some other places because of this voter suppression in Georgia. I forgot the main company she's reaching out for. And she's, oh, Delta, and there was another one. And she's holding them accountable. Victim. We're trained to be victim. I'm saying, what? She's saying, well, if you don't speak up about this voter suppression, then you are held accountable, and you're going to do this, and we're going to picket you because we buy your goods. Therefore, you have to serve us. No, you don't, bitch. Hell of you. They don't serve us. They serve everyone. They are not responsible to pick a side. That's not how business works, bitch. And if you go on TV and you're thinking, well, black people, we got to hold Delta and we got to have Coca-Cola responsible because we are a main consumer, so therefore they must be on our side. And if they're not on our side, therefore we were picking them. Go pick it. Bitch, go ahead. You are so ignorant. So now we're going to have a society where a group of people are going to protest a company because they're not helping them with their agenda, which in reality is... No, bitch. And don't come up with black voters matters because you want some theme thing so you can turn on TV. I saw you. You're an ignorant motherfucker. Get some education because we have people already doing litigations on them. We got intelligent black people suing the company. And how you want to, if you want to stop that, vote the motherfucker out of the office. Get a petition together. Impeach the governor. This is how the law works. But when black people think that things are owed to them and they want other people fight their battles, and if you don't fight for me, we're going to yell racism, or we're going to not buy your shit. Cuz now what you're doing, I hate to say it, is blackmail. If you don't do this and you don't fight for us, then therefore we're not going to buy your shit. You're blackmailing these corporations. These corporations are there for everybody. They're not there for your agenda, and if they don't speak out because of the suppression, that means they're against black people, and therefore we're going to picket you. Bitch, that's not how it works. But black people think this is how it works, and this is why we're always in this spot, because that's victim. And who's making us a victim? Black people. They're keeping you oppressed, saying this is how it works. No, this is not how it works. If your governor signs a legislation you don't like, you got a lot of avenues. One, you already got intelligent black people suing the law and contesting the law. That's already in the works. Number two, you get a petition, you can get the guy out of the office. Try to impeach him if you don't like it. The third one is, you know he's an elected official. Don't vote for him. Get him out of the office. That's how the law works. You don't have to ask big corporations to fight for you. That's being a victim. And we're so used to becoming a victim that we don't even know we're being a victim. Because we accept us being a victim. I go further if I'm going to piss you off. Why not? I'm on a roll. Case in point, when Lincoln freed the slaves, what did the black people do after they were freed? They went right back to the plantation that whipped their black asses. That's where they went. They went right back to their masses. Victim. And then we had the nerve to say we were oppressed. We had the decision to do that. Now, what gets me is a lot of black people is so funny. I am black, by the way. I have to look on the outside because I want us to be better and not be a victim no more. What gets me is when black people start yelling racist and plantation and we're slaves. And I start looking at them and I said, you were slaves? Tell me your slave relative. Tell me who was your slave. because what you learned was in your history book. Who was slave? Was your uncle a slave? Tell me what plantation, what part he was slave. Because half of you guys don't know that half of you guys were free. So tell me which one's the free nigga and which one was a slave nigga. Because when you tell me that you were slaves in our history, we were a slave and white people did this, well, there's not every black person was a slave. There were some free slaves in the North. So tell me which one you belong to, and they can't tell me it because you rather go right to the victim side of automatically become a slave. Automatically. You're not even thinking maybe you were from the part, maybe your great-great-great-uncle was in the North, and he wasn't a slave. But you're not going to go there because you're not trained to think that. You're not trained to think that maybe we were the free side. None of y'all are trained to think that. You're going right to the victim part of we were a slave, give me the money, pay my black ass, and you don't even know where you came from. You could come from Jamaica or Haiti or whatever. All you know is you hear money, and then you want to claim the victimhood of slavery. You weren't even thinking that you could have been a free nigga. And I'm going to use that word because I don't know what's coming up. You went right to the victim because that's what you're comfortable with, being victims. Another, okay. Using the racial card is another victimization. And it's a slavery of the black mind. Every time you don't get your way or something, when you use the word racist, is you being weak and a victim. And a victim. You will pull that card because you're thinking, that's another way of you thinking you're a victim all the time. Oh, he served me last. You're a racist. You're going right into the mind of a victim. He didn't date me, or he didn't look at me, or I didn't get that job, or he said this, or I heard him say a word, nigger, when I was eating, and he wasn't addressing me, but that's a racist. Right away, you're a victim, because you related to that. That's a good word. That's a nice little victimization. That's oppression. Who did that? He doesn't even fucking know you. That white motherfucker didn't even fucking know you. You black motherfucker, you're just because he said something, you're going to say, well, I feel like I'm entitled to that word because that's my history. And you don't know if that's your history because you could have been a free nigga. But you want to go all the way back to accepting you were the victim and you were slavery. So you use that word, racial. And every time you use that word, racial, you're victimizing yourself. Racist, that's a good word, right? You are weak, and you're victimizing yourself. They're not victimizing you. If you could accept that's what it is, and you're using that word, it's you being a victim, and you in your head is victimizing who you are. You're a weak son of a bitch. I'm going to go a little further. I might as well do the whole thing, right? I'm on a roll. Because to this day, some black people are still complaining about 40 acres and a mule handout. Some black men are accepting leaving their families so they can get welfare handout. 95% of rap songs are violent or singing about your black mothers or daughters who are whores. Acceptance. We call each other nigger, the vilest name a white man can call us. But black folks use it as a greeting towards one another. Acceptance. We can't think or help ourselves, so we ask God to do that for us. Lord, please show me the way. Lord, help me. Lord, I have this. Lord, let me see you another day. Lord, I need this. Dumb. That's right. Because you can't think or help yourself. So you ask God to do that for you. Victim. We're going to hammer this out. We have some people in the studio right now, and we're going to go in, and I'm going to go exactly what's going on. And I should play this one more. Guys, hold on for me for a minute. I see the people in the studio. Please don't hang up. I just want to do this, and then I will... open the phones. I just want to play it before I get off the thing. Remember, there is a bill out there, and you're not aware of it. And it's a bill. It is the House approved a bill, and it even named it after George Floyd, A lot of you guys don't even know about it because you're too lazy to even look at what's going on. You probably don't even know about it. And if you don't know about the bill, you are a victim again. It passed the House, but it did not pass the Senate, called the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. It's a reform bill. That's the only bill that's going to hold policemen accountable for their actions. Anything short of that, you can't just cry another. How many marches and protests that you have to go through, and how many babies and people are dying that you have to march and put a sign to, and ain't nothing going to happen because you're walking around saying no justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. What does that mean? Well, if we don't get justice, we're going to destroy your property. Is that a right message we want to send? Well, okay. Well, I'm in L.A. And if you go down to Watts, there's still vacant lots there that they haven't built. When they burn down and they burn down this and they burn down L.A., there's still houses that and hospitals and Walmarts that are not built there. And Walmart said, I'm taking my shit out of here. So no justice, no peace. Means no, you know, you're not, there's some places in L.A. that you have to drive 30 minutes away just to go to a Walmart or go to a store because you burned the motherfucker down when they built the CVS near you. No justice, no peace. This is what that gets you. You're not thinking. What do you mean no justice, no peace? You don't even know what justice is, because if you know what justice is, you can use the law to help you because it works for everyone. I'm going to give you an example about Biden, and then I'm going to open up the phones. Your own president, Biden, said something stupid that was very insulting to every black person, and I didn't hear any outrage from any of you guys. You bought it. And I looked at left-wing news, and left-wing news is the major factor of really oppressing you and keeping you stupid and keeping you as a slave and keeping you as a victim. Because Biden said something that was stupid. I want you to listen to what he said. And this was regarding, he was upset of the suppression law in Georgia.
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick.
Un-American? Foo, is it an American what you did with the Indians and took their land? Foo, was it American when there was slavery going on? Right, Foo? You're the President of the United States. What part was American? Was it American that the civil rights, that we were beaten in March just to get civil rights, but some guy decides to restrict voting, that's un-American? But listen to the bullshit, and you got to get past the bullshit that keeps you a victim. Listen to it, and you will catch it.
Sick. It's sick. Deciding in some states that you cannot bring water.
That should be insulting to you. That should be the most insulting thing that any black person could ever hear. But you missed it because your mind's not going there. Because your mind's used to being a victim. Biden said, this is insulting that you can't bring water to a line. He wasn't talking about white Democrats in line. He wasn't talking about Republicans in line. You know why he wasn't talking about white folks? Because white folks bring their own water. White folks will be in line and they will bring their own water. They don't need anybody bringing them water. I'm not hearing any white Democrats saying, oh, this is bullshit. We can't get no water. But no, we hear black people saying, that's racist. Victim. We mean it's racist. And it's embarrassing to hear a black person say that. We can't even get water in line. What's wrong with I could bring you own water, fool. We don't need nobody to bring us water to vote. But then that's the slavery, that's the oppressed, that's the stupidity to keep you stupid. When the President of the United States is talking to you like, it's going to be against the law to bring you water, we should say so. We can bring our own water. But to go over that, to make it that prominent, and then say, well, that's going to hurt the voting because black people are so lazy and they're so trifling and that they can't afford their own water and they're not going to stand in line to vote for their constitutional right because there's nobody there to bring them water and they get dehydrated in the sun. White, you're not hearing any white Democrats saying that shit. The only thing that, and then they're going to call it racist. You know why they'll call it racist? Because that's the buzzword in our heads that keeps us down. So they're going to call it racist. How is that racist to not bring you water in line? That's not racist. Hell, if I knew that nobody was going to bring water in line, I'm buying a 12-pack. I'm selling this shit for $10 a bottle in line. You didn't bring your water? $10. I see a business opportunity. I don't see racism because they're doing the same thing to white people. White Democrats can't bring water. Nobody can bring them water in line. In fact, let's go with the Republicans. Nobody's bringing their white ass water in line. They're not complaining about that. That is so venial. That is so disgusting. That is so embarrassing to think that you're going to connect that with black people, that you cannot bring them water. That is so demeaning to a black person to hear it. And no, and none of y'all are thinking that's a bad thing because you grabbed onto it. Oh, you grabbed onto it. And then it's on all the news and CNN, MSNBC. Oh, they're going to make it a law that you cannot bring water in line. And you grabbed onto it and you reached it because I was victim. We're a victim. We're always victim. Oh, black people need to have water in line. My God, black people need to have water taken to them so they can stay in line, so they can vote, because if they don't get water, they're going to leave, and then we're not going to get the votes. You think that's how small you think of black people? That's insulting. That's where the victim comes in. He goes on. And more insulting. But none of you'll catch it because we're trained to be victims. And we're trained to be lazy. And we're trained for this from birth. Listen to this.
You cannot bring water to people standing in line, waiting to vote, deciding that you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off.
Oh, Lordy, don't end voting at 5 o'clock. Black people are not going to vote. Let me tell you something. Black people will still vote. If that closes at 5, guess what? We're voting at 4. If that closes at 4, we're voting at our lunchtime. If that closes at this, we're going to vote before we go to work. Just because you close at 5 o'clock doesn't mean black people are not going to show up, because black people do have a stake in this. That's another insult. That's another victimization that you don't even understand. He insulted you twice. It gets better. Let's listen.
Voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work, deciding that there will be no absentee ballots under the most rigid circumstances, it's all designed, and I'm going to spend my time doing three things. One, trying to figure out how to pass the legislation passed by the House, number one. Number two, educating the American public. The Republican voters I know find this despicable.
No, they don't. You beady-eyed son of a bitch. No, they don't. They don't find it despicable. Nobody finds it despicable that you're waiting in line and that people cannot bring you water. I never even heard about that. I've been voting for years. When did this happen? When did this happen that I could wait in line and people bring me water? I've been missing out on this shit. I've been waiting in line sometimes for 35 minutes. I should have been looking for the water boy. No, they do not think it's despicable. Shut up, you. There's more. Let's learn.
Republican voters, the folks out in the, outside this White House, I'm not talking about the elected officials, I'm talking about voters, and so I'm convinced.
Just in case Biden gets confused, he's not talking about the electric officials, he's talking about voters. Well, voters vote for the electric officials to represent them, so they're part of the voters because we elect them. But let's forget that. Let's ignore that. Let's just move on. Here we go.
I'm convinced that we'll be able to stop this because it is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. I mean, this is just...
just, there's that buzzword again. It makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. He knows better. We had this history lesson before for order, and nobody, and why are we bringing up Jim Crow? Anybody under 45 is saying, who? But we keep it alive, don't we? Who? Jim Crow was in the 1800s and came into the 70s. We kept, white people kept that alive as a buzzword because black people act like idiots. And as soon as they hear Jim Crow, a lot of black people don't even know who Jim Crow is. But we're going to bring that up again because Jim Crow was like in the 60s and the 70s. And we're at 2021. But we're going to bring Jim Crow back up and say, oh, my God, what is Jim Crow? We'll look at, oh, my God, oppression and segregation. Well, there is no segregation. And the only thing that's oppressing you is the left-wing news in your head. White people are not oppressing you. But we're going to bring that up. And the President of the United States brought that up. It's Jim Crow again. No, it's not Jim Crow. We are not living in segregation. No, and we are not oppressed. Every time you watch a basketball game, I wonder how many millionaires, black millionaires, you know, when you watch basketball, Lakers, those guys, five people on the court on each side, 10 people. I have never seen so many black millionaires in all my life. I wonder how many black millionaires were around Jim Crow law. How many black people who were millionaires around Jim Crow? Jim Crow's back in the 50s, and we can go. There is none. Not to mention we got one percenters like Tyler Perry and Oprah. How many of these people can have a Montecito house and a mansion? How many black people had a mansion back in the 1800s? So we do not have oppression here, folks. We do not have Jim Crow here. And we got to quit bringing these up as reminders to impress us for weak minds to go back there. This is evil. This is what's oppressing you and keeping you stupid and keeping you lazy because you can't think and you just accept it. You just accept it. Jim Crow should have never been brought up. That's like bringing up Custer, talking to the Indians, and going to indigenous people and saying, yeah, well, I haven't seen it this bad since Custer came around riding into town. They're going, what? Yeah, you know, you haven't had this bad since General Custer. It's saying the same thing. It's the same thing. But you're too stupid to understand where you're being insulted because you're so used to accepting being a victim. You're so used to it. When you don't get your way, you become a victim because that's how we're raised. We're raised to become victims and to accept what is handed to us. That's where we're raised to become consumers and not business owners. That's who we are. That's the race we are. And how did this happen? Well, in history, and black people do it to themselves because white people will plant the seed and black people water it and let it grow. What do I mean? Example, before I go past, example, we go into slaveries. They will pick a house nigger. If y'all don't know what a house nigger, read about it. And they usually the house nigger comes from some white guy raping a black slave, and the baby's a little lighter than the African one, so they're a little white. So they give him a pass instead of saying, you're not my son, I'm going to put you as a house nigger. The lighter you are, the more the nigger you are, the house nigger. Now, what they do with the house nigger, now that's not fair. Instead of the house nigger saying, okay, I'm going to be watching y'all, I got the inside information, I'm a spy, I'm a whistleblower, what does the house nigger do? He starts reporting to Massa what's going on there. And then the black people are going, we don't like you now. So now we start separating each other. Now we don't like anybody who has light skin because they're part white and they're traitors. So now we start dividing among each other and we start hating each other. Because he's a house nigga, you're a cotton nigga. Now we divided us right there. White people didn't do it. We did it. Because we're victims and we accepted it. And we hate it. So we hate on each other. That's what we do. And we do it from birth. From birth. When a baby is born, when a black baby is born, by the time he gets to 5 years old, what we're telling the kid is what the fear in life. We tell them that don't call the police. He will kill you. Don't go outside. They will kill you. This is how you act when you're outside. Don't raise your hand. Don't act like a normal person. They will kill you. By the beginning of your birth, you're brought into fear. in fear. This is how you're raised, and that's how you start looking through life. It's like, don't do this. They will kill you. They will hang you. They will do this. And that's what we're getting, why white people are getting their babies saying, hey, Santa's coming, or the Easter Bunny's coming. Black people are telling their kids and how to scare the hell of their kids, don't even be black. They will kill you. Black people, they will kill. And they tell the stories of it. And we don't, our kids don't even have a chance of life. Telling them that at 5 and 7, they go up and they have fear all their lives. And then you expect them to be productive citizens because we did that. White guys did not come to your house, and they did not birth the baby, and they didn't tell them, now look, little buck, if you go outside, they're going to kill you. Look, little buck, if you see a police officer, it's going to kill you. White people didn't do that. We did that to each other. We did that. And we have done that for years. Why? Because we are always a victim. And we're brought up to be a victim, and we're trained to be a victim, and we're brainwashed to be a victim. It's like, oh, Lord. From birth. True, folks. This is true. I'm going to finish with Biden. I'm going to open up the phones. Biden has more things to say about us. This is going to be interesting. Let's look at the great white knight that's going to protect us because we're so weak to protect ourselves.
Gigantic what they're trying to do. And it cannot be sustained. I do everything in my power, along with my friends in the House and the Senate, to keep that from becoming the law.
Is there anything else you can do about it besides passing legislation?
Yeah.
The answer is yes, but I'm not going to lay out a strategy in front of the whole.
The answer is yes, I can stop this. I can take away the filibuster. I can put this into law because that's the real truth. But the answer is yes, but I'm not going to tell you my strategy. You're the president of the United States, so you're on your high horse of saying this is atrocity, this is Jim Crow, and this is, I will not stand for this. And you get a reporter asking you, well, how can you stop it? Well, I could stop it, but I'm not going to tell you. What? What? Because the truth of the matter is, if he gets really the filibuster, he can pass that thing, and it can stop right away, and he can put that into law. He could put... Even Republicans who hate Trump are saying, what's going on, Biden? You got, take away the filibuster. You could put this in the law right to this day. You could, and you could stop that shit. And he says, and his answer is, well, and here's his answer.
The answer is yes, but I'm not going to lay out a strategy in front of the whole world and you now.
Hey, NBC News viewers.
There you go. I'm not going to tell y'all. I could. He even answered it. Can you stop this? The answer is yes, but I'm not going to tell you. Mm-mm. Not going to get to work for me. Mm-mm. Lip and lock. Mm-mm. Throwing away the key. Mm-mm. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. I am Brian Hammer, and I'm going to open up the phones right now. We have 111, but 111 doesn't talk, and my brother Stanley is here, and I'm glad my brother's here. 111 is not going to talk, but let's give it a shot. 111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. Let's give it a shot. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Okay. My brother Stanley. Hello, my brother. How you
wow.
doing?
Wow. Wow, Brian. First of all, before you finish...
Thank you, my friend.
Wow.
Thank you, my friend.
I am shocked of what
you're
said.
Shocked?
Wow.
Mm.
No, I am shocked that you believe everything that you said. I believe 300% what you said. Everything that you said that black people are victims. I've been talking about this from years and years ago. And yes, you've been talking about that. And no, I'm not. I shouldn't be shocked. I am so happy that you said those things. So happy.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be mad at the show, but just the way you talk made me feel like, hey, I don't need to be mad. You said everything that is a disgrace as the president of the United States. That is a disgrace in Georgia that made me feel this. But you said everything as a black person, I feel offended. That that I have to basically, like you said, with the food. Oh, what is this? I go to vote and everything. I can't buy my own food? Somebody has to go outside and give me food when I'm waiting the line.
Right.
Or
right.
As a black man, I can't buy my own water. I'm waiting on the line, and unless I'm waiting on the line for voting and everything, it takes a long time. I could do two things and say, yes, it's taking a long time. Let me come back a little bit later.
Right.
You can do that. Or you can go get some water. Say, yo, can I'm just going to go to the grocery store and get something. Can you check my line? No problem.
Right.
Then you go get your grocery store, go get your water, and you come back. But no, like you said, we got to be victim. Oh, this is racist. You can't even get your water. And Georgia also. Wait. Are you saying as a black man I can't get an ID?
Right.
If you want to have a driver's license, you need an ID. If you want to have a job, you need an ID. If you want to have an apartment or a house, you need an ID. Are you telling me that because 200,000 people, black people can't get an ID, that I should have pity on you? Get the fuck out of here, man. Get the fuck out. Go get the information, get an ID. Go get a photo and everything. Go get your passport. Go get an ID. But no, that's racist.
Right.
It's only for us. That's racist, Georgia. I look at the Georgia law, like you said, Brian. I looked at it, and I told them, please show me a place that's something that as a black person, a white man can't do. I'm looking at this. Okay, signature. I'm sorry. Okay. He has to check the signature to make sure that you have the right signature. Okay.
Right.
You have to have an ID. To open a bank account, you need an ID. Get the fuck out of here if you don't have an ID. That's on you. That's
just
you being childish and everything.
Just to drive a car. And most people have an ID. Just even cast a check or whatever. They
just
have
to rent a car, you need to have an ID. Just to rent a car, you need to have an ID. Just to open a credit card, you need to have an ID. Come on, people.
Sure. You know, and
that
it
is so such a victim mentality, like you said. Such a victim mentality. Like you said, when Biden is acting like, oh, my God, this is the end of the world. Black people can't get food and water.
Right.
Food and water?
Exactly.
Since when are we're begging in the place where we can't get food and water?
And you know, that's what I was thinking, you know, it's like, are you kidding me? Is that your talking point? And there's some more atrocities, and I call it crime of the brain. You know, crime of the brain, because the left wing news is sort of telling you how bad it is, and I have things, and even black people, the talking heads are telling you, this is racist, this is this, oh my God, they're not doing, and they took that talking point, I'm going, are you kidding me? Really?
Exactly. Everything is racist. And like you said, Brian, everything is racist. Everything is racist. I'm like, are you really talking when I say Selma was racist? If you want to go racist, Selma was racist. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and everything, and Rosa Parks sacrifice themselves so we can have the opportunity of voting.
Right.
That was the only, that's the reason black people went to the street. We didn't went to the street because we wanted to have the same chance as any person, any race. That's the reason black people went to restaurants. That's the reason we sit down in restaurants. That's the reason Rosa Parks went in front of the bus and everything, because she wanted to have the opportunity to say, as a person, as a human being, I have the right to sit anywhere I want.
Right. Exactly. We're always waiting for that white
man. But
now
it's racist. Are you, as a black man, can you vote? Yes. Like you said, is there any black man billionaire? This black man who's being your Oprah, who's the number one billionaire person, and this racist? LeBron James and basketball players are getting $20 million, $30 million, and it's racist?
Right. And that's my point, too, because when you use the word, first of all, you should not use the word Jim Crow, but when you use the Jim Crow is a law back in the day where we segregated black people and oppressed black people. They can't vote. They can't go to church. They had separate water fountains, blah, 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 blah. And
we couldn't even go to a bathroom. You had a white bathroom, and you had black bathroom. You would go to a bathroom, and you'd see white bathroom, and if you were a black person going to a white bathroom, you were almost killed. Sorry.
But now that
we
you
don't
can watch
have that
any
anymore.
We don't, because you can watch any basketball game, football game, sporting events. Anytime you can watch basketball, and you can see every five people on there, they're all black millionaires who are playing, by the way. I don't think they're oppressed. I don't think LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Oprah are oppressed people. Tyler Perry, we go on and on.
Oprah has
their
own TV station,
lawmakers.
Like you said.
I don't think they're really oppressed people.
Yeah.
So why are you bringing up Jim Crow? And it's certainly not getting segregation.
Is the ex-president President Obama oppressed? We had a black president.
Oh, that's
is
a
he
good
oppressed?
Point. That's a good point. The most powerful man in the world 8 years ago was a black man. The most powerful man in the world. And that brings me to this other thing. This is interesting, and Stanley, I kind of went with it really quickly, and I went with the word nigger.
Yeah,
because
open
I'm
the light,
up.
Right? Open the light for the rest of the people. For the rest of the people. So
there is no rest of the people. It's me and you, buddy.
Oh, there's no one. Okay.
You know what
yeah,
I did?
Yeah.
So actually, I may be going to podcast soon, because I started. You know, everything changes.
Wow.
I mean, but before we go there, let me tell you the reason why. Because if I open the line to Cole, he's going to say something stupid to troll. Nothing's going to be done. I mean, the people who I banned from the Cole, I banned Cole from the trill. He's gone. Sharice is gone. Alisa's still, she's listening. A lot of people are not in the studio, but they're still listening. She's having some problems. King will probably come in later. You know what I mean? But
okay.
I had to put in my mind this weekend, I said, you know what, when I was listening to radio, and they don't count on the studio audience to lead the show, and my thinking is different now. I used to say, hey, you know, I'm hoping that my morning crew comes in because let them take the show. And then I said, I have to take over the show. This is something that I want to talk about. And I'm listening to Rachel and even on Fox News. These guys are doing their podcast now. Everybody's going to podcasts. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
I want my friends to be here.
I told you. You need to be on YouTube. I told you. You need to be on YouTube.
Right.
You need to be doing a podcast. I told you. And what you did as a speech, as a black person, I'm telling you, there is many conservative, and I know personally, who, not conservative, who wants to hear the message that you said. There's many black people who need to hear the message that you just said about victimhood, about that you said 40 minutes ago. They need to hear that. They will respect you more because you're a black person saying that. They will not respect you if it's a white person. They need to hear a brother like you saying it. So they can't come
right
back and say, well, you know, it's a white person. They don't understand. And then they go to your show and say, oh, I can't say that. It's a black person. Oh, man.
Right.
What do I say now?
If it's a white person,
they're going to go through. Yeah, if it's a white person, they're just going to say, oh, it's a white person. He doesn't understand. He doesn't have the color of the skin. They
right
all tell me that until I tell them, by the way, I'm black. And then, sorry.
Right. It was like, and by the way, we do have like 4 111s in the studio, so I'm not alone. But they won't talk, and they won't talk for a number of reasons. One, I think, is Bozo. And then we have three other people in there. And usually 111s don't talk, so I don't press them. So when I say it's me and you, I know that you and I can talk. And there's other people in the studio, but their numbers are kind of private. But so I see people. I see quiet people. There's a case in point. I have a neighbor. Her name is Amy.
Sorry to interrupt you. Even the George Floyd, I'm sorry to say, I agree 100% what you said. If that guy would stop being in fear, he would have been alive today. I'm sorry to say, it's something that needs to be said, because before he was put down and the knees, and I deplore what it was done, it was disgraceful and everything, the policeman tried to put it in the car. The policeman tried to open the window for him and told him, go inside. We will be inside. And he was afraid and said, I don't want to go in the car. I don't want a car. I don't want a car. Please tell my mama. Please tell this. If he would have been like, you know what? Let me go inside the car and let me go to the policeman and everything. They were trying to push him to go to the car, and he didn't want, he wanted to resist, and then fell down, and then the knees come. I deplore the knees thing.
Yeah. There's other things. They could have put him on a curb and got the paddy wagon or got a bigger car. But the thing with the George Floyd,
exactly. They could have gone. They could have gone another car. I would have said, put him on the thing. Waited this. Let's get the big car that they have, the one that you knew the SWAT comes and
right,
everything, and
exactly
put him there. He doesn't want to go
yeah
to the little car. Put him there and everything, and then drive
right
him off. But
right,
if he wasn't
right
scared of going scared, he would have been alive today.
Well, my argument on that is that there are some good police officers, and that sometimes we paint them as enemies. But the ones who step out of line, now, I do think this cop should be, as far as I'm concerned, should be put in an electric chair and fried on a Friday night. he stood there and made and did an execution as a vigilante on the street, and he wasn't hiding it. He was smiling, putting all his weight on this guy's neck. He executed that man. He went beyond what policemen should be going. So I'm for his death, tell you the truth. I think he made that man,
I agree.
Suffered.
Yeah,
he
made him suffer. But the problem is the training that they have, Brian, they have that thing.
You're right.
That he did. It's part of the
You're
training.
You're right, and that's
part
what we're
training.
Talking about. You're right. And that's what we were talking about, the bill. The bill that just passed the House recently, March 3rd, they called it the George Floyd Justice Policy Act, which makes cops accountable for doing shit like that. And they will be held accountable. And hopefully they'll be held accountable. And they get locked up. And next thing you know, these cops will be prison bitches. You know, uphold the law. We ask you to uphold the law for all people, but when you be a judge and execution person, it's time for your ass to be locked up, and it's time for you to get black justice up your ass.
I understand your point and everything,
there's
but
too many
as
cops,
a black person, I think I agree with what you're saying, everything. There's too many cops. We shouldn't do this. But as a black person, upload the law and say, if the cop is telling you, I need your ID, give him your ID. If your cop is telling go inside the car.
Stanley, I'm with you 100%. If a cop stops you, you're going to be difficult to cops. Okay, you get arrested. But I don't want them to drag you out of the car and put a knee on your neck and be an executioner. You know what I mean? While the guy's crying
and
for help.
I don't agree with that. There's nobody who agree with that. There's no justification, even though I don't agree with that. Everybody reacted this way. Even me was like, I couldn't defend that shit. I couldn't say, well, what do you think? I'm sorry. I'm pro cop, but sorry. I can't defend that shit. No.
Right.
No. I know it's in the training. I know it's this, but you have to use your judgment. This guy is going berserk.
Right.
And I know the cops were getting frustrated. They were like, we tried to put it, I saw the video, they were getting more and more frustrated because the video shows 5 minutes before, they're trying to put him in the car, they're trying, the guy's resisting. So instead of, they snap. I truly believe that, what's his name? He snapped.
And he should be held accountable.
Man, you don't want to go inside the car?
Right.
Yes, you should be accountable for snapping and everything. But you should have a procedure that says if you are in that case that the person doesn't want to comply, here are other stuff you could do. You could do this.
Right.
Call the supervisor. Call the supervisor.
I agree.
Get another car. Get a bigger car.
I agree.
There's many things I should have done. Think of the knees. There's no reason. I don't think they're going to get prosecuted and everything. I don't think he's going to get something, Brian, because
that's what I think is going. Stanley, you're not the only one, and that's how I opened it up here. I said, you know, just because. Hey, King, welcome to the studio, my brother. King's here. Stanley's here.
Good morning, King.
The fellows. And
hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning, Stanley.
Hey, good morning.
Hope I didn't miss anything, man.
Oh, you missed a lot.
Man, hope not, man.
Well, that's it for the show. Thank you, King.
No, you missed one of the greatest speech that O'Brien ever did on the victimhood of black people. I had to do a standing ovation for what he did.
Thank you, Stanley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was
thank
a standing
you,
ovation. It was like, wow.
Well, the talk that I gave King, and it was really weird, they did a study. 95% of rap songs are violent, or they're singing about your black mothers or daughters as whores.
Yep.
And we're going as what black people accept themselves as victims, and we've been brainwashed to get handouts from the beginning. And this is basically what the talk is about. That was shocking to me when I read that. I'm saying 95% of rap songs are about violence and about their mothers and daughters. So I said, no, they can't. And then I started listening to this. I go, shit. I did not know it. And we accept that. And I also wrote it in the monologue. It's like, and here's another thing. Black folks, I said this. Says, we call each other nigger, which is vile. The name a white man can call us, but black folks use it as a greeting towards one another. They accept it. I put the parentheses, acceptance. See, we accept that shit. Why would we take a name that is the most vile name that a white person can call us, and then we accept that shit, and we use it to greet one another? We accept that shit. And we're not thinking, and when we talk about black people being oppressed or black people or being this and being victims, because we are raised that way. And we're brainwashed to have our hand out all the time. We are raised that way. Give me my check. I have to leave the house for me to get my welfare check. Where's my 40 acres in the move? I'm going to get this. I'm okay with this. And then we accept the violent behavior and the negative behavior and the stereotype as heroes. The pimp on the street, the dope dealers, the guys who are getting by, the guy who's selling hoes, and he's dressing in fur and everything. And we, in our society, we accepted that. We accept it. I go even further. We accept Jay-Z. Hang in there with me. This is where you're going to fight me. And sometimes I want you to fight me, King. I really do. We can accept Snoop Doggy Dogg as a game show host, and we accept him as he's on television. I see him on television as judges for game shows and everything. And that is, I went to this store the other day, and his face is on some wine. I am not shitting you. I will take the picture of it, and his face is on wine. This guy, Doug, we can go with 50 Cent. We can go with Jay-Z. We can go with Ice Cube. We can go with a lot of things. These people are thugs. We brought them up to being heroes. This is what I'm trying to say, how we're trained, how black people are trained. And here's another thing, before you go after me, King, because I really want you to do it. You know, I like what you think and everything. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, you know, but what it said is what it said. Why do we accept these things, King? Why do we accept that our heroes are thugs and gangsters and this, and then we buy the clothes because we want to dress as a gangster. We want to be gangster. We want to be OG. Why do we accept it? We think it's a joke when we say baby mama. How many baby mamas do you have? We made it. Maury Povich. He used to have, and there was another person, Jerry Springer. They made a fortune. If you go on their shows anytime, if you look on their shows, there's niggas running around there, especially Maury Povich, saying, you are not the father. You have to go on TV to find out if you're a father, if you father some kid, and you act like a fool on TV. They made a fortune off of us. Jerry Springer made a fortune off of us, and we're acting like fools. And we are watching these shows because we accept us being fools. Here we go. Hold on. How you doing, Angela? Angela, Good. We got King in the studio and we got Stanley in the studio. Angela's in the studio.
Good morning, Angela.
Stanley, hi.
Hey, good morning.
How are you, Stanley?
Good morning. I'm very good. I'm shocked by what Brian said. I'm completely shocked. I shouldn't be shocked.
We have accepted
about the shows.
We have accepted being a victim. We have accepted being brainwashed to be a victim. We have accepted handouts. We are a burden on society. We are the scourge of society. And as we start thinking correctly, we will always be a consumer. We will always be little – Biden and the Democrats will always give us little programs, and we will always have our kids on a SNAP program because the Democrats are giving it to us to feed our own children. We will always accept that we will break up a family and not stick with the family because they get rough. We will always accept leaving the family and just say, well, it's okay, that's the baby's mama. That should not even be in our English language. The baby mama should never be there. But we have accepted that shit. King, I went into the thing about, and maybe you can correct me because you're younger than me, and you probably hang around friends that are not my friends, but I want you to correct me on this, okay? Back in the day, in the legendary day, is that when you saw, you know, when the kids, the black kids used to pull their pants down, they walk around and people say, pull your pants up. Now, what I've heard was, what I heard that was a prison thing where young black men used to pull their pants down and walk around the prison. I'm not saying you've been in prison. I'm just trying to say you're down with the rappers and everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in the music business
or
whatever. Well, I am with the culture, Angela. I am black.
Well, no, I'm just saying he's with the culture.
That's
I was
still,
speaking
you
of King,
twice,
of course.
And it's still double insulting. Even King had a laugh like that. What are you saying? But anyway, I hear what you're saying. The prison culture,
Angela.
Are you saying the prison culture? I'm not saying
well,
that
no, there's
King,
a connection between rap and the prison culture because of the, well, I mean, I don't want to call them victims, but they were being profiled and unfairly sentenced to longer sentences. But that's a whole different story. But what's the answer to the question, though, I wonder?
Wait a minute. Hold on. 708, you're live on the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. You're live. Hello, 708. 708, you're live.
Maybe they just want to listen.
Okay. Well, what I'll do, 708, when I say 708, the first three letters of your phone number is 475, so you know I'm talking to you. If you want to chime in, I'm going to leave your phone open. What do you know? We got a full studio. I didn't expect that. See, Stanley, you asked,
yeah,
and they came in. What I meant by this, and King, help me out. Help me out. So I'm thinking that's where it came from. I'm thinking that it came from the prison culture, that when these young men used to pull down their pants and walk around, they were bitches and punks. They were just being bought and sold. They were going to get fucked up the ass. Am I right or am I wrong? Correct me, because I don't want to put that narrative out there if I'm wrong.
Well, originally, you know, back in the day, the masters, if they had people working for them, you know, either the people that was working for them or the masters themselves, they would rape the slaves, you know what I mean? Like the men, you know?
Right.
And so there's a word for that. It's called butt breaking or something like that. And
okay,
they did that back in the day, you know?
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I'm guessing when a person goes to prison,
right,
if they've been tapped in the butt, then
right,
they will sag their pants.
But
then,
that's what I heard, King. That's what I heard.
Then you have guys who automatically just think it's cool. You know what I mean? Because back in the day, you know, like I'm going to say in the early 80s and 90s or so, you know,
right,
rappers, even female artists that was rappers, you know what I mean? And singers,
mm-hmm,
you know, would hang their pants low and all that other stuff, you know what I mean? And so, you know, people like me and others, you know what I mean? We would think it's cool, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
why,
you know,
would we think
it's cool? I didn't
why?
Think it was too cool because,
right,
you know, I grew up in a household where I had both parents in the household, so my mom.
Yeah, I know your grandmother raised you right. I know your grandmother raised you right, but go ahead.
Yeah. My mom, she would talk to me, all that stuff, you know,
right,
she would let me know. So, I mean, you know, and as I got older, you know, I understood that I wasn't raised to be street trash, you know what I mean? So don't dress
right
like it, all the other stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as the time goes by, you know, these rappers, they promote that stuff, you know what I mean? They promote that stuff, and next thing you know, I mean, shit, this shit is like, it's huge everywhere, you know what I mean? And till this day,
right,
you know, people will wear the biggest size and whatever clothes they need,
right,
just so they can get that trend on, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so people like Snoop Dogg,
mm-hmm,
I can't even say I got respect for him because
I don't.
You know,
mm-hmm,
him and so many others are down talking
right
Lil Nas right now, Lil Nas X, for that
right
video he just released. But you got,
mm-hmm,
people like Snoop Dogg who will portray, what word am I trying? You have people like Snoop Dogg who will promote that it's all right to wear fingernails and
they keep that
all
shit
that other
going
shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And still
so,
dressed like an
you know,
old, he's still dressed like a pimp to this day. He's not even in a business suit.
Mm-hmm.
And, to this day, he's sitting out that image like I'm a pimp.
Yeah.
I'm Big Daddy. I'm Snoop Dogg. And my point is, King, is that we accept that shit.
Yeah.
It's like
so
part of our, we accepted that negative shit. Go ahead.
And so, you know, Snoop Dogg didn't start changing until after he caught that murder charge, you know what I'm saying? And in my eyes, that was the opening eyebreaker for him. You know what I mean? So after he got off on that, he immediately started being a foreman and all that stuff. I mean, Suge Knight breaks all that shit down. All that shit is broken down. It's in our face, HD. You know what I mean?
Right.
So then he has to have a new image. He has to do all these different things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, today he acts like he's this hardworking rap artist when technically all you did was get off the murder charge, be an informant, sell out. And so when you're selling out, now you're able to do all these different things. So how is he helping our culture? He may be helping out the culture for those who are former Crip gang members, you know what I mean? He may be an idol to them, you know what I mean?
Ice Cube's another story, but going back to Snoop, he joined Martha Stewart. Why not? He's Martha Stewart's nigga, right? He's Martha Stewart's nigga.
She went to prison, though. She went to prison.
I know, but... You know what I was hearing with Martha Stewart in prison? I don't know if it's true. They gave her, like, a private cell, and she decorated – this is what I hear. I don't know if it's true.
No.
But it's like she decorated this cell, and she had, like, a curtain and everything, and she used to teach – and she would teach cooking and how to knit, and all the prisoners would wait in line to go and join her classes. I mean, it was just – that's how it was. I mean, she didn't serve no hard time, you
know. Well, the good behavior
time served
thing.
Her. But this is the whole thing.
When you sell out, you can link up with people like Mark. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know?
You're right.
If Snoop Dogg hadn't sold out and did some of the things he did, you know, I guarantee you he wouldn't be linking up with Martha Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So then I heard you mention 50 Cent. People start to realize 50 Cent grew up in a fucked up life. You know what I mean? You know?
I know. You.
And I got it's nothing to really laugh at because I don't know what it's. I don't know what it's like to grow up without a mom. You know, I don't think I can imagine someone coming to tell me, you know, your mama got killed. You know what I mean? I can't imagine growing up like that. So, you know. He had a very fucked up life, and so, you know, for him, I just see him as a hardworking guy. I never heard any stories about him selling out, nothing. He's a master, you know, he's a master when it comes to business, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he's a sellout. I'm not going to sit and say anything, you know what I mean, because 50 Cent, he done worked his ass off. You know what I mean? He did what he could to get where he's at now, you know what I mean? So, you know, 50 Cent, he don't really do much. He doesn't really, you know, promote none of that crazy shit, you know what I mean? So that's somebody I got aside that you mentioned, you know what I mean? Now, Ice Cube, I don't really know too much about Ice Cube, but I do know that Ice Cube, supposedly he's originally from Phoenix, Arizona, but his family had moved to California. And ever since then, you know, he reps California. You know what I mean? So it's hard to say about Ice Cube, you know what I mean, because he keeps a lot of stuff low-key and on the hush. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I really don't know, you know. But I do know when he broke away from NWA, you know what I mean, he did his own thing. He's been doing good ever since. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, he doesn't really – now Ice Cube – I can't say he's a sellout because at one time he was promoting the Nation of Islam, and then he switched over. So I don't know.
Donald Trump.
I don't know if,
he went to Donald Trump.
I don't know. Yeah. So I don't know
did.
If he. So it's I don't know.
But King, I want to hold that because I'm bringing Stanley on this. Now wait, I said something, and it sounded negative. I just want to clear it up. Let me just explain something when it's the Donald Trump and the Trump supporters, and I'm going to say this. when you see a lot of black people switching over Donald Trump, and when I said Ice Cube slip over to Donald Trump, and then people hear, oh, my God, he's a sellout. Let me tell you something. No, he could be a good business person. You go, what do you mean he could be? Well, Donald Trump is saying that he's not going to tax me. I'm keeping my shit. The Democrats are going to tax me and take my shit away.
Yeah.
So if you are in that high tax bracket and you're Ice Cube and you're saying, wait, Donald Trump is not going to tax me because, or I get paid less taxes because of his program, guess where I'm going? You know what I'm trying to say? And that's the same thing with Kanye West did. He goes, I make a certain amount of money. I'm in a certain amount of tax bracket. I like Donald Trump's policy. I'm keeping my shit. If I voted for a Democrat, they're taxing my ass. Why am I giving my money away for the government? So I'm going to clear that up. Right, Stanley? Right, King? I mean, come on. I would do the same thing. If I had a lot of money and I could pay less taxes, screw y'all. So when you hear Ice Cube or Kanye West or these people are in that 1% or that 10% bracket, it doesn't mean that they sold out to the black community. It means that, hey, I don't have to pay taxes. I mean, our little taxes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just wanted to clear
agree,
that.
Brian.
Exactly.
Right.
So I
you're
didn't
right.
want to say
yeah,
he's a sellout,
so,
but it's a businessman. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a businessman. He wants to pay less taxes, and I don't believe the poor in that and everything. But continue.
And then, you know, going back to your topic that you was talking about earlier, you know, that right there, to me, a lot of black people think that it's okay to say, yo, what up, my nigga, what's up? Oh, that shit is just ignorant talk. You know what I mean? It's ignorant. And as a rapper and singer and all that I do, me personally, throughout the years of my career and growing up and all this stuff, I've been cutting myself off from different people, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't raised that way anyway, you know what I mean? So I try to stay away from people like that, you know what I mean? Because they don't mean no good to me, you know what I mean? You know, and it's like, you think going around saying, what's up, my nigga, and all this other crazy shit is cute. That shit ain't cute. It just makes you look uneducated. It makes you look stupid. You sound stupid.
Right, but you know what, King?
So,
you're right, though. But King, my question is, I'll let you go on, but I want to just get you right there while you're on that thought.
Yeah.
Why do we accept that? I mean, it's not like just one or two of us are saying that to each other. It is just, and case in point, I want you to hold that. I want you to stand and listen. We got 708 still here. We got 311s are still here, but 708's not talking. But I'm going to, what you just said, my nigga, King, I'm going to play something for you. Stanley, I want you to listen to this. And the subject of today, just in case you came in late or you tuned in, is that the image of black people, who is at blame? We as black people are at blame. And I put the first sentence tells it all. The black people are trained and brainwashed to be a victim, a burden on society. We're always asking for help and accepting handouts, and we're grateful for it. We are built-in consumers. You got white people, we got consumers. Black people are just, they buy shit, go shopping, but we do not invest in ourselves and our businesses, or we don't even think about owning our own business. Therefore, we will always be a burden on society, and the shit that we accept, and hold it, I mean, we accept shit.
Yeah.
We accept welfare shit, and we're grateful for it. We accept handouts. We're still asking about, where's my 40 acres and a mule? We're supposed to be old shit. We're always supposed to be, and we're always have our hand out, and we're going to have our hand out with, I put it here that some black men accepting leaving their families so they can get the welfare. We're holding our hand out there, and we can go like this. We call each other niggers, which is the worst you can ever do by a white man calling us, but yet we accept that, and we use it to our greeting. And this is what King brought up, and here's where I'm going to play. Listen to this. It'll prove your point. So, and King just said it. We call each other that, and it's ignorant. Well, this is the image we're saying to white people not too long ago, 60 Minutes, 2 weeks ago. Here it is. This is about the cop who put away all those black people, and he just locked them up. He's the most racist cop in the world, and he made up charges to lock them up. He locked up a lot of black people. Now, he was on 60 Minutes, and a black guy, I forgot his name, was interviewing him on 60 Minutes. I want you to listen dialogue. Listen to the word nigger and white. Listen. And you tell me, and he explains it. He actually explains it. And this is what we're telling white people. Listen to what he said. Sorry, guys. Here we go.
TV.
Here we go. Listen to what he said.
Billy Wafer, a 45-year-old warehouse foreman, was charged with dealing 2.3 grams of cocaine to Tom Coleman.
I guess they wanted to be on the map. They wanted to be on the map by arresting so many and making this the biggest drug bust that they ever had, whether it was done right or wrong.
Why was nearly everyone you arrested black? I mean, there's some people say that you intentionally targeted the black community.
No, they didn't intentionally target anyone until you. It turned out that way. It's just the where the road led me.
It may be no coincidence that the road led Tom Coleman to the town's black community. It was well known that he had used racial slurs in front of his superior officers in Tulia.
Everybody's making a big deal. Oh, God, he said words like, oh, let's put him in an electric chair. Well, yeah, that word was bad back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s, and 60s, and 70s. But now it's just a common slang, you know? Yeah, I mean, people, you can watch TV and hear that word, you know? It's a greeting.
The word they were bleeping out was nigger. And did you just heard what this white racist cop said? It's a common word. You're hearing it on TV.
Yep.
It's a greeting. And black people have to understand that. You cannot use the word and then have somebody say it and you get so offended. It's like, what? But not only that, it's a vile word. You made it so cool that this racist cop saying, nah, it's a common word. I heard it on TV. Now, he trips himself up for being a racist because listen to how he's interviewed. But that's the image. That's the image when we put it in our songs and we put it in our movies and we're laughing at it and we think it's cool and our friends, some of our white friends who've been on the run with us say, yeah, I call my friend nigga, but when I'm not with my white friends, I don't. Well, how come you don't say the word when you're not with your black friends? That word must be a bad word then. It cannot be cool. So you just heard them. Yeah, I use it. I use it with my superiors. I heard it on TV. It's a greeting. It's a greeting. And here's what else he says about that word.
He said words like, oh, let's put him in an electric chair. Well, yeah, that word was bad back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s, and 60s, and 70s. But now it's just a common slang, you know? Yeah, I mean, people, you can watch TV and hear that word, you know? It's a greeting.
Coleman told me he used the N-word to fit in with blacks during his investigation and admits he also used it among his white
friends. He used the word to fit in with blacks. That for a minute. To fit in with blacks. This is what we accepted. This is what we call each other. This is what we're cool with. And the image that the white people are seeing, and I have seen white people call each other nigger. I've been in a situation where two white guys, they were friends of mine, but they're still talking. They call each other niggas. Hey, nigger, I'm going, what the hell? And this is not done by white people. This is done by black people. And then as soon as somebody else other than black people say it, you lose your damn mind. What the fuck are you thinking? It's another negative thing about us. It's another thing that we accept. It's another victim thing word that we use towards each other. We say each other the most vile name ever. The most vile name ever. That name in slavery and everything, nigra and everything, we used to get pissed off and then we take it and we hold that name and we heard that word and we hug that word and we love that word so much that we call our kids that. We even describe our kids. I have been with people going, you know, hey, your son's over there. Nigga, get over here. And it's said it by their mom. You call your kid a nigga? Nigga, boy, nigga, get over here. And you address your kids that way and your grandkids that way. We took that word. And what I'm about to say hurts. It hurts, but it's true. We took the most disgusting, vile word ever said to a black person in history, and we call our babies that.
Yeah.
Why do we do that? And this is where the whole show is about, that black people are trained. We are trained, and we are brainwashed to be a victim. We are trained. We are a burden on our own society. We are the only race that kills. We're colored people, but yet if you wear the wrong color, we'll kill your ass. Why is this acceptable? Why? Why is our heroes thugs and the best, I guarantee you, the best rap song, I haven't even heard it, on the top 10 has to do with something about fucking a hoe or slapping a hoe or something with a hoe or talking about a message to another rapper about you ain't shit and you ain't right and I got you, you bitch ass this. I guarantee you, I don't even have to look. We do, white people are not doing this to us. And we see, and then we have people come in and say, well, Stanley's a Republican, and it sounds like King's a Republican. Well, so what? Well, they're Trump supporters, so therefore they're Uncle Tom's and they trade the race. No, they didn't. Maybe Stanley wants to save some money on his taxes. Maybe King's thankful that, you know, there's some things in there that Trump did that helped him. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't. And so why do we do that to each other? Why can't we accept black people as Republicans? Why do we got to go against each other because we don't agree with each other or we kill each other? We're animals. This is who we are. White people are sure to tell you that because you just heard it from this white cop. It used to be bad in the 20s. It used to be bad in the 30s and the 40s. It's still bad, motherfucker. But not anymore. I hear it on TV. I hear it on the song. They call each other that. It's a greeting. It's a greeting. And here's another thing. So the guy who's interviewing is black on 60 Minutes. Listen to this.
Friends.
The word. Yes, sir. I've used that word. I've used it a lot. Yeah. What's up?
Is that a greeting you'd use with me?
Oh, no, sir. Not you.
Oh, no, sir, not with you. Oh, hell, not with you, sir. Remember, the guy he's interviewing, Ed Black, on 60 Minutes. I won't use that word with you. Listen to his tone. Oh, no, sir, not with you. You could destroy my career. Are you kidding me? Oh, now he's up there saying nigga so freely, but when, what's his name? And I can't even forget it. Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. But he's black on 60 Minutes. And he says, but you use that word with me? Listen to his tone of his voice as a really docile tone. Listen.
...to fit in with blacks during his investigation and admits he also used it among his white friends.
The word... Yes, sir, I've used that word. I've used it a lot. Yeah. What's up?
Is that a greeting you'd use with me?
Oh, no, sir, not you.
But it's okay to use it around other people.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear the change of the tone? Yes, sir. No, sir. But when he was talking about other niggas, he used that word. Did you hear the difference? This racist cop who was locking these black people up for no reason at all, it came to him, would you use it? Oh, no, sir. And, but, oh, no, sir. No, sir. You see the difference, you guys? Just right there, that 3 seconds of clip right there sends the message. Oh, hell, I feel comfortable using it. It's a greeting. It's this and this. Would you use it with me? Oh, no. So you felt comfortable saying that with other people. Goes, yeah, but with me? Oh, hell no. What does that mean? You know, you think about it because I respect you. I would never use that word around you. I respect you. I fear you. I would never use that word. But everybody else, yeah, nigga, 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 nigga. It's a greeting. But you seem like an educated fellow. You're not a dirtbag. You're not an animal. But did you just see that within 3 seconds? You got to hear the change and the respect, because the message is no respectful person will call another person a nigger, white, black, Hispanic, or Asian. This is the message. And I cannot say it clearer than you hearing this clip about this racial cop. And this is it again. So you need to hear it, and I'll pass on.
TV and hear that word. You know, it's a greeting.
Coleman told me he used the N-word to fit in with blacks during his investigation and admits he also used it among his white friends.
The word... Yes, sir, I've used that word. I've used it a lot.
Yeah.
So,
is that a greeting you'd use with me?
Oh, no, sir, not you.
Oh, not you.
But it's okay to use it around other people.
Yes, sir.
You consider yourself to be a racist?
No, sir.
Uh-huh.
Do you see how some people might hear what you say and think that you are a racist and that you simply railroaded dozens of people because of their race?
That's the message. He doesn't even consider him a racist because, you know what, we made that word acceptable. He could get away with that. Of course he's not a racist. What's up, nigga? Doesn't mean I'm a racist because we made that word acceptable. Who made that word acceptable? White people didn't make that word acceptable. In fact, white people to this day don't even like saying it. I guarantee you, you get a white person in a car and you have a song, a rap song going on with nigga, nigga, white people won't even sing that word. Well, white people. We made that word acceptable. Good morning, lovely. Melissa.
Good morning.
Good afternoon,
actually. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, damn. Good afternoon, Melissa.
Yeah, right?
We have our own Stan Lee in the studio. Stan the Man is here.
Good afternoon, Stanley.
And we have the
good
King of
good
Kings.
Good afternoon, beautiful.
How are you?
Mr. King's in the studio.
Very good.
Yeah.
Did you hear the great speech of Mr. Bryan? Did you hear the great speech of Mr. Bryan?
I was busy, but I read something this morning which bothered me, and it's been an ongoing issue for me.
I'm tired
of Donald Trump's son tweeting shit.
Okay.
And keeping this ugliness going. What do you guys think of that?
What did he tweet?
He tweeted that Joe Biden was weak and China knows it. I'm paraphrasing, but pretty darn close to that.
Well, I don't know about the China, but were you impressed with the press conference of the president?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. He did. Was I impressed? Not really. But I think...
This is a great day today, man. Today I'm receiving the honesty from Brian. I'm receiving the honesty from Beautiful, who always is honest. What is this, Brian? What did you do? What did you do today, man? This is, right? Amazing.
You woke up on a beautiful sunshine, right?
Right.
I must be in the wrong universe. Let me go. I must be in the wrong universe. This is impossible.
No,
Brian's making
sense.
You know? Beautiful's making sense. No, this is
probable.
No, I was not impressed. No. I know you guys are going on about the other thing.
Well, I'm going to make it.
No, but what you're saying is important. What you're saying, I don't agree with the China part, but I do think that the president of the United States wasn't top-notch when he came to the press conference. Sorry, he wasn't. And I appreciate that you're honest.
No. I want to know what Angela thinks.
She left the studio.
Did she?
King?
She did leave.
Because I said to Brian, I said, Brian, he just was, he was like bumbling. Remember we were talking about it? I was like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. You know what I think, Melissa? I'll just say this in my own opinion. This is how I look at Biden. This is how I look at Biden. Number one, I cringe when he talks. I really cringe.
Yep.
I root for him. Not to say something
you
stupid
brought up
or
the stuttering. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I can get over that.
I did. But we got to also recognize the guy's, what is he, 75, 76, or 70? I don't even know how old he is. We got to recognize
him.
Is
it 78?
He might be 78 because the 8-year Biden was on the nose Biden running and jogging. He's older, you know. Trump's old too. But I do trend. But here's how I think of it, Melissa, and help me out. Tell me what you think, Stanley, and also King. I look at it this way. Biden needs to get some balls, but he gets shit. He got a lot of shit done within a short period of time. And I look at it like this. Biden's a coach. And we're going with the March Madness theme, the basketball theme. Biden's a coach, and he put together a great team. His team is winning. versus Trump. Trump's a coach, and he put together a good team. He put together a good team, but Trump didn't let his team play. He played all the other positions. I mean, Trump put together a team,
yeah.
but he went out there, he suited up, and he played the forward, the guard, the shooting guard. You know, and that's how I looked at it. Biden may not be all there, and I don't even want to go there. I don't know. I'm not going there because it's too easy for the Republicans to pick that apart. I'm not going there. There's other factors.
Yeah, yeah.
But and he may not be the best spokesperson, but he picked a hell of a team to get things done. You know, his team is winning.
Mm-hmm.
Trump picked a good team, but he's not letting them play. He's playing all the positions, and he doesn't know enough about basketball to win. That's how I look at it.
I agree. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying, Brian.
Wow.
I would agree with Trump,
Stanley.
And I would agree with Brian. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. He didn't have enough trust, Trump, to basically let the other people to do what they needed to do. That's what I'm saying. Biden, he's like saying, Kamala will do this. You heard it in the conference. What he said, are you going to go to the immigration show? No, I'm not going. Kamala's going to go there. And Kamala's going to take care of this. And Kamala's going to do this. I'm like, aren't you supposed to go there? But I think he trusts more his team than himself. I agree with that.
Yes. Yes. And I'm okay with that because the team is getting some shit done. I mean, the team is getting shit done. I trust that. And maybe so. I mean, no. If you really look at those pages that's in that relief bill that we just got with including the 14, it is just unbelievable what was passed. It was just unbelievable how it can help people.
Get money? Five or six every month for a while.
Remember those women who have three children? They're on welfare. Well, those three children each are worth $3,600. So that woman on welfare now going to get $3,600 for each child. That means she almost got $12,000 to get herself out of debt. That is not to mention she got $1,400 her damn self. And that's when they said that bill is going to really wipe out half of the poverty level for children. That's what it meant.
That was
a ballsy move. But like I said, I equate that with he picks a good team, and you're right, Stanley. Trump didn't trust his team that he picked, and that was his downfall. And he tried to play all the positions, including the shooting guard. It's like, whoa, trust your team, dude.
Yeah.
So the other thing, we want to move on from that. Okay, you know, they brought up a thing called, and bear with, it was funny, again with the race. Oh, no, I want to do this. So it was a week ago, we had this woman, she was a black woman. To me, I call her a black bitch, but I don't want to be biased. That she tried to interrupt the governor's signing of a bill in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And this is where I say sometimes black people eat their young. She did a stunt that didn't work. Nobody's talking about her black ass now. It was a stunt. But I want you, and the reason why I want you to think it's a stunt, I'll just paraphrase it. She was knocking on a door while the governor, I forgot his name, was signing the bill in Georgia to suppress the vote. She was banging it. And I'm looking at the video, watch the video, and then you would see that the cop was telling her, don't do this, don't do this. Gave her a lot of warnings.
Yeah.
Even talked to her for 5 Even when she was talking to him, she was still banging on the door.
Mm.
And I'm saying, what the fuck? This is how we eat our young. Goes, why would you do that? Because even if they open the door, let's just say for a minute before you guys get mad at me, let's say they open the door and say, oh, here you go, go on in, right? What was what was her agenda? Was her agenda to stop him from signing that bill? Because she couldn't do that. She knew that. Was her agenda to say, I just want to let you know that I'm a black woman. I want to protest so I can get my 15 minutes of fame. What was going to accomplish if they opened that door? What was her agenda?
I don't know.
Exactly. She knew she could not stop the governor from signing that bill. So for her going in there and knocking on the door, so what would be her agenda? You think he's going to see her going, oh, my God, you're absolutely right. You're so black. Please come in and sit in my chair. I will change my mind. I won't even do the bill. May I get you some coffee? Did you think that was going to happen if he opened the door? She knew that she was going to get arrested. She was ready for it. It was a stunt. It was a stunt. But what she was also doing, Steve, we gave her a pass. Black people gave her a pass for being a stupid bitch. She was basically obstructing justice. She was trying to disrupt a man, whether you like the bill or not, disrupt the proceedings of legalizing a bill, a law. She was disrupting the legal process. And nobody called her out on that. But the left-wing news saying, oh, my God, this is racist. What's racist about it? Oh, my God, it's racist about suppressing this bill. It's racist. No, it's not racist. Well, what do you mean, Brian, it's not racist? They won't even give us water in line. What? Well, let me tell you why it's not racist. One, because the bill applies to everybody, including Republicans, so including white Democrats, too. So how is it a racist bill? It's not just affecting black people. And I don't hear white Democrats complaining, well, I'm not going to go vote because I ain't getting the water. White people are not complaining about water in line. But they make it a fact that it's black people complaining and they're not giving us water. And they made it, and then they take it from there to a Jim Crow thing, which is oppression and segregation. It's like, you dirty bastards. You don't think that, oh, I get it. So we black people are lazy and trifling and we can't get our own water. It's like, oh, God, massa, you ain't giving us any water for us to vote? Well, we're going to go on home now and we're not going to, I mean, that's the message they gave us. It's like, I bring my own fucking water. I don't need you to bring me water. Why is this even a talking point? You know what I mean, Melissa? It's just as insulting if we say, well, there's going to be women voting in line, and you know how women are. So we got to make sure that we have the tampons and the thing and clothes, and let's get them a chair because you know these women, they cannot stand up on their feet. You know, it's like, what are you doing? And you're making it a black thing. And black people fell for it because they're, and then when the left-wing news catches it, well, God, this is racist. Racist? It's a law with everybody, not just black people. Why are you making it a racist thing when it should have been a Democratic thing? Because that's what it is. It's to suppress the Democratic vote. So instead of you taking it on as a racist and separating yourself from everybody else, the other Democrats, you went ahead with your stupid mind and your empty head saying, well, that sounds racist to me. Instead of saying, no, it's a Democrat thing, and you could join as a Democrat and unite. But you don't have. But you're so used to being a victim, and you're so used to being brainwashed that as soon as we hear the R racist, it's like, oh, my God, it must be a racist thing. It's against us. No, it's even applying to the Republicans, too. The Republicans have the same thing. They cannot have water brought to them. You can't claim racism on this. Stay in the lane. You know what I mean? But we accept that. We accept it. And let me tell you, there's a new breed of children out there. There's a new breed of children, and we're doing the same thing, and we don't even know it. I know the transgenders. Don't get me started on that. And gay people, shut up. But there's a new breed of people. It's true. We got a new crop of Americans and breed of people out there that we are also oppressing, and we don't know it. You know what they are? They're biracial children. They're biracial children. And let me tell you something. Black people, stop it. Let me tell you something. When I see a biracial kid, you know what I look at? I said, oh, that kid has the best of both worlds. That kid has the best of the black world. That kid has the best of the white world. That kid, I don't look at him as well, you have to pick a team. Which one are you? Are you white? You black? See, that's where the racist thing come in, and that's coming from most of black people. Black people are telling the kid to pick a side. White people are going, okay, that's a pretty baby. Black people are going, pick a team, you know? And the kids are usually forced to pick a side. That's coming from black people. That's where the pressure is. So I look at a kid who is biracial, I'm saying he has the best of both worlds, or whatever world is, if it's black and Jamaican, or if it's Hispanic and Latino, or Asian and black, it's the best of both cultures, man. That's an advantage. I look at them as, I call it two things. I used to call it in my head. I look at them as, well, they're called the dividers, and the other ones, basically, God, I had the name in my head. But these kids are special. They have their blood is mixed with so many beautiful things, and they are special kids because their DNA has the best of both races wherever you are. And instead of dividing them and make them pick a team, well, on a birth certificate it says you should be black, and a kid goes, well, my mom's white. Well, you should be black. And on here, you got to pick a team. It's like, no, I don't have to pick a team. I'm a human being, and I want to be accepted. I'm a man. And if you want me to pick a team, you are racist. And you cannot force, and society is forcing you to pick a team. So I think we should encourage it. And it should be celebrated as far as I'm concerned. If I see a biracial kid, whether he could be Hispanic and white or it doesn't have to always be black, but you know what I'm trying to – that is a celebration of we're coming together finally. We're healing maybe. And that kid's going to grow up to understand both histories of where he's come from. And that's the only way that we're going to heal. And that's the only way they're going to be together. What's better than having a biracial kid? But instead, what we're trying to do is make them pick a lane. That's how racist we are. Now, I happen to think that way. Anybody else with me or not with me? I happen to think that
way. Well, I agree that biracial should be celebrated. I never understood the mega whatever, Carl, whatever she did, that she was like acting like, because she went to Oprah and said somebody said black boy or a boy or whatever, that she thought it was racist. I don't understand that. I don't understand why we talked about it. You know that Cheryl Osborne lost her job because of this?
Who did? Cheryl?
Cheryl Osborne.
Oh,
yeah,
Sharon
the
Osborne.
Friend of Cheryl Osborne lost her job because of this. Because she went in public and said, I don't believe that Piers Morgan was racist. He asked a question, and I don't think he's a racist. And then people, like you said, went to this victimhood and said, oh, I'm offended because it's – and she's like, you're acting like, because I know this guy who's a friend, he's not racist.
Right.
Even if I hang out with him, that means I'm a racist now? And she made a great point. But black people, like you said, is a victimhood, just making her lost her job. She lost her job. She quit.
Right. Well, we have a story on that because I didn't realize the time was going on. I'm having so much fun with you guys. I thought I was in the other thing. Well, we're going to go do the transformation on that. And I just want to say that we got to quit accepting things the way they go. We got to quit being this. And when I say we, I have a friend whose her name is Amy, but I call her Melissa. Melissa hates it, and Amy hates it. I don't care. You guys are too. You got so much in common. You're both ballsy ladies. You both speak your opinions, and you guys are both stubborn. And there's a lot of coincidence there. But I always think it's a good thing. And the reason we're friends is, and I say that as a compliment, because Amy and I are friends for a long time. So I say that too with Melissa as a good compliment. She was telling me yesterday, she has a daughter. Her daughter is going into high school. And she says, you know, I want to tell you something, Brian. I go, okay, tell me something. And she goes, well, you know, it was a post. It was a Facebook post. So her daughter shared a Facebook post, and it was a black guy who wrote the post. So when she shared it, it seemed a little racist, so they started calling her racist. But they didn't call the black guy racist who wrote the original post. The girl didn't understand and goes, why am I being attacked when I just shared the post? And this guy, and she named the guy, he wrote this post. It was a stupid post. And her daughter didn't like the post, and she goes, I don't like this post. I guess it was some kind of point of view because she was white. They attacked her, but they did not attack him. And Amy had to explain to her that you cannot attack black people. You cannot do this. You cannot do this. He goes, why? Because then there'll be race. She goes, that's not fair. She goes, well, it's not. And she had to explain to her kid that black people are so sensitive. And you cannot say anything. Black people can say all this shit, but if you're white and you just posted it up and it has a little bit thing and you said, well, that's stupid coming from this guy, and they see a white face, well, you can't do that. And God forbid, you cannot tell a black person they're wrong online, because then you'll be a racist. I mean, she was really serious, and I had to listen to that. I'm going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is, and we don't want to portray that as black people. We're better than that. We can take the criticism, but are we that sensitive that if we don't like something, we're going to yell racism and racism and racism, and that's how we get even? And being, as soon as you yell the word racism, you are now being a victim. I believe that. I can understand a person's prejudice. Fine. Fuck you. I don't like you, Brian, because you're black. And I don't like you because you're an asshole. Cool. You want to go play some basketball? Sure. You get center. Done. Prejudice. But racism? Racism is all about economics, by the way. If black people own more buildings and more banks and all this shit, and we are in charge of hiring people, I guarantee you that end racism quick by white people, because they'll be applying for the jobs. You know what I'm saying? That'll end that racism quick. It won't end the prejudice, but it will end that racism, because you're applying to a black company and you need to work. That ends racism. Because it's all about economics. Anyway, that was, so they did a thing with Governor Cuomo. And somebody said something today, if you guys know Cuomo, you're not going to believe, King, you're not going to believe, and Melissa and Sammy just left, and hopefully it's still early enough that he'll come back. We got 411s in the studio, so somebody's hearing. And 708, you will not talk. Cool. Somebody said something yesterday that struck me weird. They're saying the difference between black people talking about Cuomo. No, actually, he said it today. Al Sharpton said it today, this morning, about black people talking about Cuomo and how they're more forgiving with Cuomo than white people are. And I said, okay, that perked my ears. I'm going, okay, what are you talking about? And then what he said made sense. He said, well, black people are being accused. We understand when people are accusing us, and people are accusing us a lot of times. This is Al Sharpton talking. He's black. We're used to being accused, or people accuse us very easily for doing something, and we're waiting for justice. We're waiting for justice to take its course, to give us, you know, not guilty. You know, we go through the process so we could be not guilty. So we're used to that. So when we hear Cuomo and these girls are saying, well, he did this and did this, he is saying white people are more to judge him on social media, going, well, that is not good. That is, oh, my God, what's going on there? Black people are more reserved, going, well, let's just see how this plays out. Let's just see how the investigation. And the psychology of it is that we're used to us being accused of shit. And so we're hearing he's being accused of shit, so we're going to see how this plays out, because we still believe in, let's get the facts and let it play out. We're not going to say you're guilty yet until we hear more. And I thought that was very interesting. And this is case in point. You're not going to believe this. Case in point. This is the latest. You're not going to believe the latest thing with this girl accused Cuomo of. And this goes down, and you're not going to believe it. This is the latest. Now, these women are attacking Cuomo like he's a sex offender and this. Well, the latest lady accused Cuomo. She was Cuomo's aide, but she left because Cuomo asked her to sing Danny Boy for him. She was upset. That was harassment, everything. Cuomo asked her to sing Danny Boy for him. So her attorneys went after Cuomo, saying, we're going to sue you for that. That's harassment, just to sing Danny Boy. Isn't that interesting? Here it is right here. Her name is Charlotte Bennett. She was new on a job as a young aide in the executive chamber when Governor Andrew Cuomo had an odd request. please learn the song lyrics to Danny Boy. That's what he said to her. That's enough for a woman to quit and get an attorney to sue him. That's all he asked. So Bennett, she was confused. She took the lyrics from the governor on that day in May 2019 and went back to her desk. Later in the day, Cuomo asked her to sing the song. And when the 25-year-old aide wouldn't do it, with his top deputy, Melissa, looking on, Cuomo started singing the song himself to get Bennett to join in. Remember, this woman had an attorney to sue Cuomo for doing this to her. It was humiliating. It was disgusting, and it's harassment. So when she refused to do it, Cuomo didn't fire her. Cuomo didn't call her name. But what Cuomo did do is he started singing a song in hopes that she would start singing with him. And hopefully she would join in. This is what she's complaining about, why the Cuomo is unfit for the job as governor. Because he forced her to sing Danny Boy. He didn't even force her. He asked her to sing. When she didn't sing, he started singing, and hopefully she would join in. This is what she's accusing him of. This is why she's trying to get money out of him. Instead, and he goes, her lawyer, Deborah Katz, said Bennett recently recounted the incident for the investigators. Her lawyer, Deborah Katz, said Bennett, who was the woman, says, oh, she recently recounted the incident for investigators for the state attorney general's office. Instead of DeRosa saying to the governor, you need to stop this, he continued to press her to sing Danny Boy. That's what the lawyer is arguing. Instead of DeRosa saying to the governor, you need to stop this, he continued his press her to sing the song. Come on, sing the song. Stop it. This is harassment. Stop it. This is harassment. That's what her lawyer said. This was harassment. And not only did she want to add more of why she's suing the governor, so the governor is pressing her to sing Danny Boy, and this is her case, which is really humiliating. She was humiliated. She was harassed to sing Danny Boy. This is the latest one coming to get Cuomo. This is how weak the case is. So her lawyer says that my client was humiliated, and when she doesn't do it, he starts singing Danny Boy with his booming voice and says, sing with me, that booming voice, and his voice was so loud when he was singing Danny Boy that disturbed my client. And we want to sue him for millions of dollars because of this. Because Cuomo said, sing with me, sing with me. And Katz told the USA Today Network in New York Friday, this is horrible and humiliating. We want to sue him for this. That's the latest. That's the latest why he's suing her, why she's suing him. The episode is part of a testimony at least five current and former aides have shared or expected to share with the attorney office. They're looking into claims of sexual harassment against a Democratic governor who's facing calls for resignation. They want him to resign because he forced that girl to sing Danny Boy, and when she didn't, he sung it too loud, it made her uncomfortable. This is what's happening to our world, everybody. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. This is the world we live in. We're going to end the show right now. We're on for a period of time. But this is what's happening in our world. Can you believe that, King? Can you believe these women are suing him because of these charges and making him dragging his name through the mud? Melissa, just dragging his name through the mud. The last one said.
I'm just laughing.
The last one said,
I'm so laughing.
Are you laughing? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was so humiliated, and she got a lawyer, and they're going to sue him for singing Danny Boy.
Why did he want her to sing it?
I don't know. Maybe he was in a good mood. But even when she didn't sing it, he started singing. So hopefully that she joined, and he didn't force her to sing Danny. So then he started singing in this beaming, according to her lawyer, this booming voice, and humiliated my client, and it disturbed her such a
what's
way.
What's an Italian
that
guy wanting to sing Danny Boy for? Come on. What's up with that?
I know.
What's up with that?
Italian with Danny Boy. I know.
Yeah. Come on. Really?
This is what's happening. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. And I'll do a couple more stories. You guys are free to chime in. Stanley was absolutely right. Sharon Osbourne's under attack right now. She's under attack. This is getting really horrible.
Uh-huh.
It's getting really nasty because basically Sharon Osbourne has had it. And I'm not going to go into that, but she basically quit the talk because she claims that Piers Morgan, who was a British talk show host, was right about Meghan mm-hmm. Markle. And I believe he was right about Meghan Markle, too. I don't believe this bitch. Fucking, this is another fucking bitch that's the same as this bitch. I mean, what guy? She took this guy from the family, not only from a family, from the royal family, not only took him from the royal family, asked him to leave his country because she was uncomfortable. And then she used it, she even said it in her thing. Oh, well, you know what? And I needed mental help. And they didn't help me, and I felt locked in. Well, bitch, are you under a psychiatrist right now? Because I didn't hear it. You are a biracial bitch. I'm not saying because she's biracial. She's just a bitch. And I'm going to cut that out because I think biracial is great, tell you the truth. But you're a biracial person. It's not like you haven't heard those words before. I wonder what color my baby's going to be. That is not a racist thing. That's a curiosity thing. But you turned it into a racist thing, which is not a racist thing. It's a curiosity thing. And you act like you're so shocked that you had to leave the country? Oh, my God. Somebody said that. I heard it from it. Let's leave the country now. Get my bags, Harry. We're going to California. California is the place we ought to be. And they loaded up the truck, and they're living in Beverly Hills. That's what they're doing. Hills, that is. That is such a bunch of shit. That is unbelievable. Being a biracial kid, you're going to hear that shit every single day. Especially being an actress. That didn't make you leave. Shut up, you. So Sharon Osbourne saying, I agree with Piers Morgan. This is a bunch of bullshit. And she did humiliate, whether you agree with the royal family or not, she did humiliate the royal family. She did leave. Why, you know, out of all this stuff with Camilla, Parker, Horseface, Diana, Princess Diana, all this scandal, Prince Andrew, we can go on and on and on. It takes a black woman to, you know, what a fucked up fairy tale. You're looking at the fairy tale saying, look, and then she marries the prince, and they go off, and they live happily ever after. It only takes a black woman to marry a prince and take him away from being a prince. All right, let's go. We're going in the hood. You know?
Yeah.
What fucked up fairy tale is this? Well, she married the prince. Oh, did they live happily ever after? No, she took him from the family. She moved out of the country, and they left somewhere.
I think
the
they should have planted his ass right down in Compton, his little red-headed ass. Could you see it?
I know. What kind of story is this?
In a project.
I know, in a project. We're going to Compton.
Welcome to the, you know, welcome, Prince Harry.
Oh, my God. Why does she have to be black to do that? Well, I'm taking it away from Windsor Castle. We're going to the White Castle in Compton.
That's what I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. My mind is thinking weird things, right?
Well, I think it's like, why couldn't she be Hispanic or Jewish? Only a black woman will take a prince out of the castle and take him away. Come on.
Yeah.
We don't belong here. Let's go. All
well,
right,
have you noticed Sharon Osbourne and who's that other guy, the little fat guy? What's his name?
Well, there's
Pierce
Brosnan.
British talk show. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They're from the UK, right? I mean, that's their monarchy.
Right.
And they're sort of defending
right.
it, you know?
It's like
it's
somebody
crazy.
Taking our Popeyes and moving it to Britain. Hey!
Mm. Oh, they'd love that.
Yeah. Oh,
Popeyes
yeah. All right. There's
going
to be something. Popeyes is good. Yeah, it's like, mm-hmm. what the fuck? Only a black woman can fuck up a fairy tale. It's like, well, usually that's...
Oprah
I mean, can you imagine
her.
Reading that... can you imagine reading that
Oprah
fairy
did
tale?
Help her.
Oprah
mm-hmm.
did, and Oprah fucks up a lot of fairy tales, too.
Yep.
Cindy got mad at
yep.
me with my humor on my match, March Madness. as they were having this.
Oh, I know you're into that.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, oh, UCLA, USC, go Bruins, yeah. Go Trojan, fight on. But Cindy got mad at me because I was making fun of the schools, right? I go, can you imagine there's an Epstein University? She goes, Epstein, you know, Jeffrey Epstein with the kids. Yes, fight on. I go, what school would he go to? And Cindy asked me, what school would he go to, Epstein? I go, he'll probably go to Oral Roberts and Brigham Young. She goes,
exactly.
I know.
That's Brigham actually Young pretty good.
Oral Roberts and Brigham. Yeah.
That's
thank you.
That's as good as your, what else would you, what was that? The
oh, with the prescription
windshield
with her face, up to the windshield.
And I can't, don't bother calling HR, I can't get along with myself.
Oh, yeah.
That was another one. That was, I got some classics. You know when you said something funny when later I'm thinking I start laughing.
Really?
And those are good. Those are, oh, yeah, those are good ones.
Wow.
Yep.
What we do have, thank you.
Material. Mm-hmm.
Well, we thank you very much. We do have some news, and then we'll glad you guys. You know, I say the best for you guys. Here you
I
go.
I know nobody's
here
talking. King, where the heck are you?
King is right there.
He's gonna be here. Angela's probably on the phone to Biden. Right?
Oh yeah, Angela. Well, who knows what? Well, here we go. Two teenage girls charged with murder.
$1,000,000. Go ahead. Yeah.
Two teenage girls charged with murder after alleged carjacking assault on an Uber Eats driver in D.C.
I saw that.
Can you imagine?
No.
I knew this pandemic was over, and I hate to say it, it's going to sound bad, when I start seeing shootings in the streets again. I mean, I'm seeing more and more people getting shot, getting robbed and everything. I go, okay, people are out now. And we're going to regret this. Because we're saying a whole year, and the whole year we haven't heard the gang shootings and rapings and all that stuff. And then we're up to say, yay, we're going back to normal. And news is going back to normal, too. 3 rapes, 4 gangland shootings, kid shot. And it's like, okay, we forgot about that news, and it's coming back, you know?
Yeah.
Two teenage girls. It's true, yeah. A woman banned from Uber and Lyft after appalling behavior. Let's listen to that first, and then I'll go to the other story.
Okay.
They're appalling. These are women. These are some bitches. I don't know if this is going to work. These are some bitches, and I saw this live. They get this Uber driver, and they're acting like fools. And I'm just waiting for the ad to go. And you guys be the judge. You be the judge.
Okay.
And I don't know why an Uber driver would pick up 6 girls and put them in the back seat anyway. I wouldn't do it. But anyway, here it is. Here we'll go to the tape. You be the judge. Okay, so the driver is telling them, put on your mask and everything. This is what you hear in the beginning of it. It's only a minute. And the girls start coughing. And this is how rude they are. Here they go. Here's how you hear it from the beginning. I got. He just told them, put on their mask. Here we go. She grabbed the Uber guy's phone, hit him across the head. You know, he said, give me my phone. And they're acting like fools. So bottom line, what Uber did was they banned them. Uber and Lyft abandoned them for ever getting Uber again. Is that enough? Well, that went a little further. Two teenage girls have been charged with murder after they allegedly assaulted a man with a taser and killing him during an attempted car robbery in Washington, D.C. You're going to be surprised how old these women are. Poor Muhammad, he's 66 years old. He was just trying to make a living driving Uber. Well, Tuesday, with a taser, when two girls attempted to carjack him, they killed him. Of course, the graphic video was posted on Twitter, and it shows him in a struggle with the suspects, who then sped off and crashed and flipped the car with him hanging on the side of the car. After arriving at the scene and transporting the subject, Anwar, to the hospital, all the life-saving efforts had failed, and he was pronounced dead. Anwar had been working on an Uber Eats delivery Tuesday when two girls attempted to carjack him. A 13-year-old and a 15-year-old girl were charged Wednesday with felony murder and armed carjacking with a taser. Anwar, who is an immigrant from Pakistan in 2014, and his family told NBC that he was a beloved husband, a father, a grandfather, an uncle, and a friend who always provided a smile when you needed one. There you go. So he survived Pakistan, but he did not survive 13-year-old American girls. Killed his ass. And one more news, because we're going out. Let me just do this because I have one more to say. We went with the Cuomo thing already. That's it. Sharon Osbourne hires an attorney. Who cares about that? I do want to mention, I was going to do a movie thing. Because I know Stanley likes movies. I did see a couple of movies, and if you do have HBO right now, let me tell you something. It's worth it. I did not have it. But if you can get HBO Max, if you can get HBO Max, it's worth it. I saw the Justice League. There's a movie called Immortal Kombat. I know you wouldn't like that one. Melissa's more the game about Mortal Kombat.
I used to play that game, and I loved it.
Did you really?
I did, and I loved it.
Really? Wow, I guess that keeps me to be a sexist pig.
I used to love to get that guy that was throwing the electric balls and zapping everybody. I loved him.
Well, the movie's coming out next week on HBO Max movie. There's some other good movies that are coming out. Suicide Squad's coming out. That looks great. And again, it's going to be on HBO Max. It's $14 a month. So it's well worth it. If you want to go to the movies, you know how expensive it is to go to the movies. Disneyland. Take a guess. Oh, that's what I always want. I always regret when I leave you guys and I don't. Take a guess how many employees Disneyland has. We're talking Disneyland, not Disney World in Florida, but in California. Take a guess.
I couldn't even begin to guess.
Oh,
couldn't
you
couldn't even
oh,
begin.
Be fun. I'm just curious if you can get close. I'm just really curious if you can.
I'll throw it out there. 500,000.
Wow, you're probably pretty close. I'm trying to. You said it. You know what? I think you're almost spot on. Tell you the truth, they just hired back 10,000 employees. Can you imagine hiring 10,000 employees?
I know.
But they're opening of employees. I mean, I'm just telling you. I didn't know that they have that many. I want to, let me see if I can get it, because it's fascinating to me for that little park. Well, they Disneyland furlonged 30,000 employees because of the coronavirus. 30,000.
Yeah.
30,000.
Okay.
30,000. Imagine a company hiring 30,000.
It takes a lot of people. Think about that, from the bottom to the top.
Wow. But 30,000. I mean, that's bigger than some towns, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
30,000 employees. I mean, you're right.
You've got food, people that clean,
yeah.
You know, and everything.
Right.
It's just everything.
And here it is. You were close, Melissa. How many employees does Disneyland have? Per Disney, most recent annual reports, they had 201,000 employees worldwide. Of those 100,000 are employees of Disney's two U.S. resorts, Disneyland Resort and Walt Disney. Over 100,000. See, I'll tell you why it's so big, guys. Disneyland is in Anaheim. Anaheim is the size of a very, 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 we're talking Anaheim. It's a city in Los Angeles. It's the size of a very small, small, small town. I don't think there is over 200,000 people live there. But they hired 201,000 employees. Can you imagine 201,000 employees? Those are just employees. They had to let go 32,000 workers. Can you imagine 32,000? I mean, to me, it's mind-boggling, especially that small town where it is. It's mind-boggling. I mean, they're responsible for most of the that town economic boom thing. Oh, and this for, want to guess how much it costs for an adult ticket to Disneyland? Melissa, this is fun.
Okay. $75.
Mmm. King, what do you think? Higher or lower?
I would say, I'm just going to guess and say lower.
Lower. What are the cheapest Disneyland tickets? Here we go. For adults, $97. For a child, $91. $100. $100, one-day ticket. That's the lowest. That's the lowest. That's the lowest. It goes up from there depending on if you want more. So it's going to cost you $100 for a kid to give you a break, $91 for a child. That's
yep.
For Melissa to take her babies, Sean, little Sean Jr., and of course, Big O, it would cost her $200 just to take them. For, with her, Big O, $300. For Jill, we're going to go with them, $400 for them to go one day at Disneyland. $400.
Wow.
For King, for your three kids, $300. For you to go with them, $400. That's what we're talking about. $400.
Mm.
King. Isn't that amazing?
Mm, that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
$100 per
Nothing's
ticket.
Nothing's cheap these days. Nothing's cheap.
And you know it's going to go higher because of the COVID. Right
oh, God,
now, they're
yeah.
only... They're only letting the California residents go to Disneyland. Nobody outside of California can go to the park. Not for a while. Just California residents right now. And they're only opening it up to 25%. I just find this interesting. Who would spend $100 on a kid going to Disneyland? I just find it interesting. I really do.
Well, it's usually probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing, right?
No, we used to go every
yeah,
year.
Yeah, but you live there.
Right.
I'm saying for people that are traveling, right?
You'd be surprised, Melissa. A lot of they used to have these year tickets, and
yes.
They used to people could go every year. There's people from Maine to Boston.
Oh
to
God, yeah.
Arizona,
Florida,
they
do
make,
too. I know that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a case in point right there. Cindy does it too. She goes to Florida, and then they stand at the
mm-hmm.
whole, you know, the Disneyland hotel or whatever. They make
yeah.
it a thing.
The Grand Floridian. Yeah,
right.
That's my brother's favorite place.
Oh yeah, but
yeah.
And
in
case some of you guys
year that the child
yeah.
was eaten by the alligator there.
I remember that. I do remember
yeah.
that.
Remember that?
Yes,
that
I do.
That was terrible. And the idiots had the beach next to a lagoon where the alligators live.
That's right.
Can you imagine being on vacation and having that happen?
Well, that seemed like it was common because they were saying on the golf courses in Florida and everything, the alligators just walked
oh, yeah.
along the thing. But I do remember that.
Yeah.
He just came up and who would leave their
mm-hmm.
kid and he got eaten by an alligator? That could be very traumatic effect. It could be.
You can imagine?
Like the child.
Could be. What crazy stuff.
Poor kid. Just
absolutely crazy.
Can you imagine that slow death? That just open up the alligator and he just swallows them and oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
He's not getting a Father's
yeah.
Day card. That's traumatic.
People forget stuff so fast, right?
I know.
Fast paced, right? News, how the news rolls is so quick.
It is sad, Melissa and King, that, I mean, you know, I'm thinking, okay, the pandemic, and I'm going to make an announcement in 2 seconds about me with the vaccine, but it is sad to see, okay, the pandemic done, I'm looking forward to it opening, now I'm seeing more traffic on the freeway again, it's getting to be like gridlock in California, it's going, oh, fuck, and then I hear on the news, well, 3 gang shootings, and 4 people dead, 2 kids are killed on a drive-by, this robbery happened, and it's like, oh, shit, I forgot all about that bullshit, you know, because they were locked up in a house. And this was part of normal that we accepted. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
I decided to take the vaccine, everybody. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Melissa. All right. Hey, if people are going to do it, right?
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, Melissa, I don't know, but I got to do it. I'm going to video it like every other schmuck with my arm. And then right after I do it on the show, you'll see what it does to me. I heard there's a lot of little things that they'll do within the 15 minutes. As soon as they do it and they keep you there that 15 minutes, and see what happens to me. Like, I'll be talking going,
I hope your penis doesn't fall off.
Thank you. That is the
You're
nicest
welcome.
Thing. After 5 years of I known you, that you said the nicest thing about my penis. That is the because usually you go.
I just hope it doesn't.
I know, but it's still the nicest thing you ever said. Hey,
look,
thank you,
Cindy. Oh my God, Cindy.
Oh, sweetheart, thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
I want to thank the lovely Melissa for coming in today.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was, you know, it was wild. Did we make it? We're 21 minutes of the 3 hours. Did we make a good one? We did it, right?
Oh yeah.
I think we did 3 hours, didn't we? I'm not quite sure.
And
all right, so that's lovely,
Melissa. And Angela.
We had a full studio. Tell you the truth, we had 708 didn't say anything. We had another number that didn't say 4 something did not say anything. 404 did not say anything. We had 3111s did not say anything. I think the Joker came in today, and as soon as I mentioned something, he left. He says, I know it's the Joker, and I don't call him by his name anymore. Cole is now the Joker or Bozo because he wants to hear his name on there. I know it was him because as soon as Stanley came in, he left.
Oh.
It doesn't take much of a detective to find out who that 111 was.
Stanley's family. Leave Stanley alone. Come on.
I thought Stanley was great.
Yeah.
He gave me a standing O today.
He was very proud of all of us today.
Well, hey, I was kind of proud of him when he says, yeah, Trump tried to run it on his own. And he you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He even admitted that he just screwed up and he didn't trust his team. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Hey, did you go to Joe's show Saturday? Because I have to make apologies.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I wanted to go up, Melissa, but I got caught up in March Madness. Oh, my God. It was so exciting.
Yeah.
It was so exciting.
That's
I got
so
UCLA.
Boring. I'm not on the same page as those guys, so
yeah,
whatever.
They do
their thing.
Let's see.
Yeah.
What's her name? I think Cinnamon is still following me, so she's hearing the show. I think we did a good show today. I think I've upset a lot of black people, but I think I'm absolutely – we can't accept this mediocrity, and I do mean it. I had a phrase and a coin phrase, I welcome biracial children. You get the best of both worlds and both nationalities, and we should celebrate that, the being together.
Yeah.
The togetherness, I mean, that's a celebration of the best and not a division of, well, choose what side. Are you black or are you white? You must put it on the thing. Now, are you,
to me, it's
normal.
You know what I mean? Because that's my life.
Right.
So you don't even think about it anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's
but
my
the,
life.
But then there, it is. But it, I just don't like the biracial kids being forced to say, okay, here's your application. Pick which one you are. It's like, well,
Oliver went to see his Jamaican grandfather for his birthday yesterday.
Did he really?
He did.
Wow.
Yep.
How did it go?
And he had some Jamaican food.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow. That, I'm happy to hear that because that's his roots, man. That is his family,
yeah.
Believe it or not. That's his family.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I am happy to hear that.
Who you are, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That is
yeah.
And tomorrow, we're going to talk about custody. We're going to talk about divorce and custody tomorrow. This is a private thing that's happening in my life right now, and we're going to talk about that. And that brought up questions that I wanted answered. So we'll talk about that
mm-hmm.
tomorrow. But, you know, Melissa, I'm going to tell you something. I know it's life.
But,
I know that the trial is live with the cop who killed George Floyd. I can't
I'm
watch
not watching
it, Melissa.
It. Me
I'm
either.
Not watching it either. I can't.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I'm not watching that man suffer again, and why did he suffer in his fat? I'm not watching it. I can't do it. I can't do it. That's why
I'm
went
not
after
giving
legacy.
Any of that stuff.
Yeah.
My view, you know what I mean?
I
don't want
you.
It in my head. I don't want any of it around.
That's true. Hold on, listen, hold on. I know what
yes.
you're saying. 313, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. 313. 313, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. You got about 5 minutes before we go off the air. I don't even know where 313 is. Let's take a guess. What is 313? What area code is 313?
I don't know.
Where is I haven't seen a 313 in a long time. Detroit. It's in Detroit. You know who I think that is? I think that was Bozo. He just left.
What?
Why do I think it's Cole with his apps? Remember with all his phone numbers and everything?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you why.
Could be other people, too.
Do you think so? Yeah, maybe you're right. I'm giving him too much credit, right?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, see? I'm tricky. More tricky than you will ever be.
All right, sweetheart.
I've never used that. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know why.
What's that?
I've never used apps.
Oh, apps.
I've never done that.
Well, one,
yeah.
I had a bad experience with an app. I forgot, I think it was a music app on my phone. And it put a virus on my phone that it took a while. I've used apps.
I'm sorry I said that. But yeah, like you said, for games but I've never used a phone app.
Yeah.
I've never done
that. Yeah. I looked into it when it happened, you know, when all this shit happened.
Yeah.
And I looked into it because the only way I looked into it, because I remember Joe was using the app. And I go, okay, well, what is this about? And we had a show on it, you know, and King had explained
mm-hmm.
to me. He explained to me a good side of it. A lot of people who are doing home business, they use the app as a business phone. I go, okay, that makes sense. But I don't see the reason why. Other than that, people, you know, if you're using an app and it's not a business, you're just trolling. To me, it's creepy.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's just creepy. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Why would you use an
exactly.
app? And with today's cell phone, if somebody uses it, and I've had it, somebody use an app on me, block. Done.
Yeah.
I don't even hear from them. It's too easy, you know. But
mm-hmm.
And they don't work, judging by Joe's experience, because he can't even stay on the show because his app goes nuts on him.
It's a great sound, isn't it? Great sound. Great communication.
Exactly.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can
really?
You hear me? Yeah. Oh, fucking app.
Yeah.
So
stupid
I don't,
fucking I, app.
I don't – you know, it's funny how people get into these traps. And I don't mean to talk, but you brought this up. Me and Cindy's been together for, God, I don't know how. We've been together for years. And if Cindy's purse is ever laying around anywhere, I don't even look at it. You know, if there was,
me
like,
either.
For instance, it'll be I just don't. It was like, I could be jogging. I could be in my shorts. And I have to have ID. So I would ask her to hold my ID, and she would put it in her purse. And then I go, okay, where's my ID? And she goes, honey, your wallet's in my purse. I don't even go in her purse. I said, baby, I'll bring her the purse. Let her get it out.
Yeah.
And they said, you don't look into it. I said, no, I don't look in. Why would I look into it? Well, you don't know what she's doing. And I go, I don't want to open up that thing. Because once you open up that thing about creeping on someone, it never stops. It's a disease.
No.
And
no, you're right.
And I never want to, you know, I'm not going to be looking through a purse and what's this, or I look through her phone and say, who are you talking? And even the chances are it's going to be nobody. Even if it's nobody, you're never going to be satisfied going, well, she hit it. Now I got apps that hide apps, and she probably has it in her hide apps, and I got to get her phone again and find out her secret. It goes on, and it's a virus, and it just destroys you. I won't do it. I just won't let myself do it. So
I don't even
understand.
Open up anybody's mail that comes.
Right.
You know, I don't open Mike's mail if it's addressed to him.
Right.
I don't even do that. Mm-mm.
Yeah, because if you do it, it's a continuous thing, and you're never going to be happy. And that's what I'm saying about phone apps. When these people are trolling, when Joe says, okay, I'm going to put an app because I don't want you, you're just ruining your own self. You can't listen to the show. You're just miserable. You're not hearing anything. Nobody hears you. Why even use it? The only one who sees your number would be me. And if you're getting weird calls or anything, chances are I'm the suspect. You know what I mean? It's not hard to pick out the suspect. You know what I mean?
True.
And so it's like, you know, depending on how many blog talk shows you go to, you know what I mean? Of course, he is a blog talk guy. And I'm sure he probably tours about 8 shows a day before he goes to sleep, but... I just can't think of anybody hiding behind an app. I told, who was that girl? Louisiana girl, Ellen. There was one thing. She had a problem with the app, right? It was some guy harassing her, doing sexual innuendos on her. And so I remember I was talking to her on the phone, and this was like 6 months ago or whatever. She goes, was that you? I go, really? I would say, I'm going to tell you something. If I did that, I'm going to get credit for it. You know what I mean? I'm that narcissistic.
Yeah.
If I called you and you're going to get excited, I want you to know who you're talking to. It's not going to be no anonymous person. You know what I mean? I'm getting credit for that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I just don't know what to get out of it. Melissa, I don't know. Maybe I should do it. I just don't know.
I think the people that hide the most have the most to hide, you know? And they're the ones that would probably creep on you.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because I just can't conceive of, Joe's been on for 6 years, whatever, I never conceived of, maybe I should get a phone app so I can go on these blog talk shows and disguise my number. I go, no, I'll just put my number in private and I'm leaving. I just don't think, and let alone my friends, right? Why would I do that? I'm already obnoxious as I am. But go ahead.
I don't know. Hiding something or afraid of paranoia? I don't know.
I guess you're right. But what kind of benefit, what kind of satisfaction benefit of somebody using an app or be anonymous, and whether they do something good for somebody, they're not getting the credit or they're going to be bad going – and you just find out that you're a douchebag, and you're still not getting satisfaction because it's like, oh, I don't know. It's a lose-lose situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lose.
But that person,
Melissa,
in particular, remember they trolled us in the chat room? So they're a troll.
Which one?
You remember that?
There were so many. There were so many. Start with a letter.
There
so
was
many.
Joe that came in. You opened up the chat room.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He pretended.
Oh, he did. He did, didn't
and the
he?
First thing that he said to me was talking about psychics. I will never forget that.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
You remember?
Yes, I do. Yes, I
so
do.
So that person really gave themselves away.
Have you had any more problems,
for
kiddo?
Sure. No.
Have you had any more problems?
No.
I was so nervous. I said, don't do it. When you took your name off of private at a certain talk show.
Yeah.
I say, don't do it. You know, I was afraid that shit was going to
happen. That
would have
given them
again.
Away all together, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because I had a feeling it was coming from that area, and that's why I was saying don't do it, don't do it. You know, I couldn't be sure. I don't know, but
I
know
either.
The hell that I know
but
the
it
hell
adds
that
up.
He went. Huh?
It adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah. We'll never know, to be honest with you. We'll never know, but
nope.
It pretty much, the road leads there. That's all I can say, you know?
Yep.
I mean, the road leads there, you know?
Yep.
I still have the other person who used to cook, but I don't know if she knew your other number. I don't know if she, that would be, if she knew your other number, she would be my other suspect if she knew the number that you were talking about. She knew that. She would be my only other suspect.
It was keyword. The psychic thing was done twice.
All right. Then that road gets
about
a little,
that.
Yeah, gets a little narrow, doesn't it?
Yep.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, kiddo.
Yep.
Some
freaks
Sammy
in this
school,
world, right?
If anybody could find out, is Sammy School. She never lost a case. She never lost a case. But I'm glad you're okay. The main thing is you're okay.
Yeah.
And the main thing, you're safe. And in my opinion, I thought it was a troll that went bad, in my opinion. I'm not saying any less traumatic, because it is traumatic when people do that. You don't know who they are. You know what I mean? It is traumatic.
Yeah.
And I wish they would say they were sorry for that, too, as well as they're saying they're sorry for other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
I'm beyond that.
I know, kiddo. You know this more than I do. You know, when you're dealing with social media, including Blog Talk, and some of these people have you. I don't say it enough, man. I should say it into my intro. It's like, be careful calling the shows, because your name and your number does appear. And it's some of these people are so trusting, you know. So can you, it's like Cole had four shows. Can you imagine Cole, you call Cole's show? Can you imagine that? And your number appears? Jesus. I've heard people do that. I've heard people from shows actually calling people at their homes. I've heard that.
Yes.
I've heard that. So it does happen.
Yeah.
The sweetest of them all, Melissa. Thank you so much, baby, for coming in.
Thank you.
I always smile when I see your name.
Good show today. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm trying. Thank you so much. Well, you make it. You know, the morning crew always makes it. Stan the man, thank you. They listen. Thank you very much for coming in, and thank you for the standing ovation. The Kings of Kings, thank you, King Webb, for coming in. Angela, you made your appearance. Thank you for coming in. 311s and 708. I had a full studio today, Melissa. It's like the old days.
You did.
But they didn't fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a very special thank you, the lovely Laverne, wherever you are. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting the show. And I know you're doing it, baby. Thank you. Laverne, thank you very much.
Hi.
Love you guys.
I'm out of here. Have a great afternoon.
I know you are. You too, kiddo.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.